One cell? Is this on?
He's opinionated.
I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
He's high energy.
Everything's good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
And now, he's here to get you through the end of your workday.
And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
Welcome in to the Jake Logley Show on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Sports Fan Radio 1330 live and on the air, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My name is Jake Logley. It is the Jake Logley Show. Christian Hager alongside, running all the controls, contributing at the highest of high levels. It's good to be with you today. We got a lot to talk about. What is often billed as the toughest week of the sports year, all three of these days, I can't say I've had much of a problem booking the show. I can't say I've had much of a problem filling out my benchmarks of what I have to do to make myself feel like we have plenty to talk about. So, I'm pretty excited about today's show. We got to talk about the All-Star game yesterday and the debacle that happened in Milwaukee while the game ensued. Jabari Parker was introduced today as a member of the Chicago Bulls. You'll hear some of that. We got to follow up on some stories from yesterday, including Randy Ruff. I wanted to give him a chance to tell that story in his own words, because he told us once on air, off air, and you and I both laughed hysterically at it. And now I got Randy to tell it through the context of something we talked about yesterday. So now we'll play that story in his own words. Then we get to react to it and laugh about it, because now it's on him. Also, Kawhi Leonard traded today to the Toronto Raptors from the San Antonio Spurs. Manny Machado deal may have hit a quick snag with some players failing physicals coming over from the Dodgers. Tons to get into. All-Star break still going strong, but we got news all over the place. We won't want you to miss any of it, so keep it locked right here for the next 3 hours on Sports Fan Radio 1330, sportsfanrockford.com, the brand new website you can check out. Full-length editions. We are totally caught up on Randy and Company and our show here in the afternoon. If you want to go back, listen to things you missed, if you didn't catch the whole show, if you didn't catch the show at all, we have those for you no matter where you go. We're also available on Alexa devices now. We are a skill. All you got to do is go to your Amazon account, go to Alexa Skills, activate the Sports Fan Rockford. So then all you have to say is, Alexa, play Sports Fan Rockford. It comes right up. It's the easiest thing on planet Earth. All you got to go do is go to your Amazon account. I know a lot of you, because Prime Day was basically yesterday, got new Alexa devices. We are available through Alexa Skills, so it couldn't be easier to stream on your Alexa device. Christian, with that said, well, first off, can we just get it out of the way? We'll discuss it in detail later in the show. But last night, you walked away saying Kawhi Leonard's going to get traded to the Raptors, and I hadn't even heard it yet. Granted, I was doing about a million things the last 2 days, so I wasn't as plugged into NBA Twitter as you have. And you said it was going to happen over the weekend, so unfortunately, I can only give you partial credit, but you did nail the destination and the return, DeMar DeRozan, for Kawhi Leonard, basically straight up with a few more pieces moving, which we'll get to later. But congratulations on your 50% hot take correction.
50%. Did I say the weekend? I said within the 3 days, I thought.
No, you said over the weekend.
I don't know about that.
Nah, we'll roll tape on it.
Okay.
Because how dare you? Now I'm nervous. Now I'm nervous right out of the gate.
Because I was talking about how slow the 3 days were, and I said, don't worry, we'll have something to talk about. Because Kawhi Leonard is, I don't know.
I think that's revisionist history. We'll have to really get some clarification here.
It's fine. But it wasn't even the biggest. Well, it was the biggest story in sports.
It broke at 2:30 in the morning.
That's when Shams tweeted out, I was just getting off of work. I added you on Twitter because I wanted to gloat a little bit.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how asleep was I? 13.
Oh, just REM.
Yeah, and my alarm was going off in about 2 hours from then. So,
well, I'm glad you could wake up to me being right.
That was maybe what made me hit the snooze button about 8 times. Like, I don't want to be in this timeline. Go back down. See if I can wake up. And this is just a nightmare. That the day you predicted, I wake up and Shams just delivers a bomb when only you're up. The rest of the world is dead, but Christian Hager is up to you.
There was like 7 NBA Twitter guys.
And the whole drive home, he's just grinning. Oh, man. Well, we'll get to that much later. Not much later. Later in the show. What I want to talk about out of the gate is the most controversial subject of the day, the most divisive, the most not so fun to talk about. if we can be honest. Last night, the Brewers were very well represented at the All-Star game, just in terms of players. When they were going through and finding all the players, they were on par with the Astros and the Indians and some of the best teams in baseball in terms of being represented there. One of their players, relief pitcher Josh Hader, one of the more dominant relief pitchers in the game of baseball right now, with the first half he strung together, earned himself an All-Star selection. He came into the game and did surrender a three-run bomb. Ended up being very decisive. Gave the AL a big lead that the NL had to try to come back. They eventually lost in extra innings. It's a meaningless game. Who actually cares about that other than being the guy that gives up the biggest scoring play of the day? That can't feel good in an All-Star game, being the pitcher that gives up the biggest scoring play. Not great. Christian, as you know, a growing trend on the internet, right or wrong, indifferent, doesn't matter. This is a thing now. This is a thing that's going to continue to happen. When someone does something really good in a sporting event that nationally is being watched, or someone does something really bad on a national stage, the internet turns around and does advanced search on their Twitter profile and types every bad word in the book, every slur, every four-letter word, every one of George Carlin's seven words. They all go into the advanced search Twitter bar, and Twitter will spit out whatever results, whatever tweets contain those words. And on Josh Hader's Twitter, there were tweets from the time he was 17, about 2011, because he is sitting at 24 years old right now, born April 7, 1994, that included misogynist language, sexist language, homophobic language, and racist language. And to the nth degree, I'm not using those terms to say they were, I'm not being hyperbolic. In fact, I might be selling these things short of the severity of the things that he said. All those words, the worst ones you could imagine, said them all. Horrible stuff. And they were unearthed while he was still in the game. His family was attending that game, and they were all instructed to take off their Josh Hader baseball jerseys and given generic All-Star jerseys so they wouldn't be recognized, acknowledged, harassed by fans who were finding out about this while at the game. Hader, obviously, confronted about it after the game, tried his best to make an apology, said he those are things he doesn't believe, different person than the guy who would send that out. Lorenzo Cain says after the game that teenagers say crazy stuff all the time. He kind of rode the PC line. Jesus Aguilar, just within the last hour and a half on Twitter, was very definitive about the fact he does not believe Josh Hader is a racist. He's a great teammate and a great person. That was a young mistake. He's owned up to it. He's owned it, and he's learned from it. The basis of Aguilar's comments. But yet another notch in the belt for the internet for unearthing young people going on the record with things they either shouldn't say altogether, things they don't mean, things that are abhorrent, things that are hurtful to people of minorities or disenfranchised groups. This is not news. This is just one more in the long line. And after the national championship game, Christian, I think I was pretty light on Dante DiVincenzo. And some of that was just because some of it was just kind of mind in the gutter pervert stuff. And I can rationalize that for a 17-year-old. And when he did use inappropriate language, it was quoting rap lyrics.
Which, let's be fair, I would say about 75% of the tweets we saw from Josh Hader last night, or 70% of the tweets from Josh Hader last night, were song lyrics.
But some of them weren't.
No. There was a good amount that were not great. Not a great look.
And that's the hang-up for me. DiVincenzo, you saw a couple examples, 100% of which could be attributed to Rick Ross or another rapper. I forget exactly who it was.
Yeah, we had some Mac Miller, some Lil Wayne from Josh Hader last night.
And again, that's dumb. Not excusable, but you don't want to cast character judgment based on your lack of ability to have the sensibility and the sensitivity to not quote lyrics that involve that language when you're a white person. Let's be very blunt about that. Hader was at points using that word
with outside the context of any reference or anything like that. And that's why this really stings for the Brewers. And I don't know what they should do about it. The MLB has announced that Hader will have to seek mandatory sensitivity training. That's step one. I mean, you can't cut the guy, or at least not at this point. Now it seems like too little, too late, if you were going to. It seems like you didn't want to originally. You waited for the outrage to get at its apex and then decided to do it. If you're going to do it immediately. His teammates are coming to his aid, which is a good sign, a testament to his character. But for this one is a lot worse to me than Dante DiVincenzo's. And I felt bad for DiVincenzo because he was a high school kid and he just didn't understand that eventually this would become public record. Same thing could be said for Hader, but I feel like some of those things in there just cast a very dark light on his character, and I don't know how much ground you can make up from 17 to 24. I guess that's my biggest problem. If you were going to outright say, man, I hate gay people, how am I supposed to believe from 17 to 24 you've totally 180'd that view?
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to change. You're allowed to, in light of new information, adopt new views and not like what you used to believe and dislike that about yourself. You're allowed that moment. But that's a severe 180. If you are a guy who at 17 was comfortable using the N-word in a non-contextual situation, at 24 you expect me to believe that you don't use it behind closed doors? It's hard for me to buy. And again, I don't know what that means in terms of what the Brewers should do with him. I mean, he was an all-star. Randy Roth brought up a great point. If it's Anthony Rizzo, what do you do? I wouldn't want to cut him, but I was talking to him this morning. I said, cut him. Get out ahead of it. Just end this madness. He's a relief pitcher. Yeah, he's an all-star. He's a relief pitcher. Randy didn't want to do that. I don't blame him. And he brought up, if it was Anthony Rizzo, would you advocate for the same thing? I don't know. Your thoughts?
I completely agree that with the DiVincenzo situation, we were a little light on it, and that was understandable given the context, given there wasn't a ton of egregious tweets. But I think the more and more you go down with the Hader rabbit hole, it gets worse and worse.
It does.
And that's the bad thing. And I mean, I don't really think there's anything for me to add that you haven't already said.
What do we do?
Sensitivity training is really the only path here. You can't cut him for tweets he made when he was in high school. It's not allowed. I'm sure it's not allowed in the collective bargaining agreement. They could fight it if they tried to release him for things like that.
Yep.
His teammates have already come out in support of him. This is the best course of action, is make him go there and then also probably do community service and charity donations to the groups that help the people that he took aim at in some of these tweets, and that would be the extent of it. And hopefully he turns into an activist or at least a vocal person for these issues that many of these people face. And that's really the extent of it. You can't cut him. You can't, maybe you could have suspended him a couple games, but even there you're treading on interesting water because he was 17 years old and not employed by Major League Baseball at the time. So the sensitivity training and working with charities and volunteering most likely will be the only course of action you can take.
When Addison Russell was accused of something, he took a leave of absence from the team. Would Hader be wise to remove himself under the premise of, I have to go do some soul searching and figure out some stuff and learn and listen?
I mean, maybe, but I don't know. This is because
it's 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's 7 years ago. I don't know how it wouldn't really look that good to me, honestly. If he walks away and says, I need to take a leave of absence to do some soul searching, to me, that comes off as, I don't want to deal with the media, so I just need to take myself out of the spotlight. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to get questions about it. When something like this happens, the best thing to do...
hold a press conference.
Talk about it.
Yep.
Explain. He sounded pretty remorseful. He sounded good to the media last night.
Do more.
But you want to be up, out, and in front of the cameras to show that you have changed, that you are taking this to heart, that mm-hmm. you made a mistake. You don't run away. Everyone that has run away from, whether it be steroids, whether it be domestic abuse, whether it be any issue, are the ones that get completely let down or get completely opened up on by the media, by the public. So getting out in front of it, talking to the media, and not running away from the situation is probably the best course of action here. I think a leave of absence would be a bad look.
So I call a press conference. I'm Josh Hader. I say, I'm going to hold a press conference at Miller Park or the Brewers location this day, this time, later this week before games resume. We're inviting not just local media, also media from African-American targeted publications,
mm-hmm.
LGBTQ targeted publications,
absolutely,
women targeted publications.
Yep.
And I will get grilled with questions for 1 hour.
Absolutely. You open yourself up to all the questions, all the questions of judgment, all the questions of character, and you take it. Yep. You have to.
That might be the new reality we move towards. That, or it since the season's about to start, conference call. Maybe we don't have time to get out all those nationwide publications to Milwaukee. I'll take questions over the phone for 45 minutes. There has to be something. Because this was a lot.
Yeah.
And another ringing endorsement to scale it down to whatever dumb things you talked about on Twitter when you were in high school. If you're Christianized age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, and you're starting to enter the workforce, be really, really careful. Because things don't go away, even if you were to go in and delete all your tweets. Those things don't go away forever. But at least it's not as easy for Joe Schmo to go out and find it.
Yeah, if it's found by an employer and the employer and you have a conversation about it, it's easier for you to articulate yourself and explain and maybe...
I mean, I'm an internet dummy. I could have found those tweets yesterday.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm a novice of all novices. So,
but if someone like you, a general internet user, finds these tweets, then you're on the defensive right away, and there's nothing you could really do because it's coming at you from all angles.
Right.
That's why you just have to, at that point, rather than run away from the situation, you take it and hopefully come out on the other side a better person.
Also, I mean, that's why as much as... you know, I make fun of the fact that whenever I see my parents on a social media platform, that's my cue that it's going down in terms of popularity. It's probably important for kids' parents to be on social media platforms.
Yeah, but at the end of the day...
they can't see everything.
And kids are getting smart enough to know that, hey, they created an account. I can just easily block them or go make another account under a different name and go
right,
about
but this,
my day.
That's a lot of... I mean, it can be done. You're
and it happens
correct.
More. You have multiple... I mean, it's becoming more and more of a thing to have multiple accounts. And,
right, but then if I go and make another Twitter account under a pseudonym, that doesn't get associated with me when I become famous.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's you can still find it, but yeah. It's a little bit different, but I'm just saying it's becoming easier and easier to get around things like that.
But nah, I think that is another step that you could play that game over and over and over again. But I'm just saying that for a lot of normal people who have one Facebook, one Twitter, one Instagram, mom and dad is going to know if you block them, if you make yourself private to them. Because I can see on Twitter, if I go to someone's page and it says this person has blocked you, that you can't see their tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing I would imagine on Instagram. Point is, make it a lot harder. Have someone monitoring your social media when you are from 7th grade to 12th grade. And you hopefully you don't have those things before 9th grade, because I don't think that's healthy. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be some fail-safe in place, because if parents saw that, they would think, who are you saying this to? Oh, my friends, we talk about this all the time. But more than your friends can see this.
Mm-hmm.
And that could become a problem later. 15-year-olds don't think that way. Adults still do. And if I have an adult watching you do this and monitoring it, and or at least I know my parents are watching or on this sometimes and they could potentially see it, that keeps me from pressing send. And that's what kids need. They need repercussions. They need boundaries. And the internet has none of them without someone there monitoring it. So as much as I make fun of the fact that once you see your parents on a social media platform, it's time to get out. For young kids, that's not the case. I think you do need parents there. You need some guiding, monitoring force. Because kids make dumb decisions. Josh Hader made about a million of them in a span of 1 year. Just a lot to take in. Then we went super long there. We got to take a break. We'll talk some more about the All-Star game. Had some interesting comments. We talked about Mike Trout not being recognizable yesterday. Rob Manfred had some quotes that I think he just keeps stepping in dog poo. It's Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Hi, this is Mike Barr with Crimson Point Senior Living. If it's time to consider assisted living for a family member or friend, please know that we're committed to providing a lifestyle for our residents.
Which is necessary. See store for details.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager. Good to be with you on this Wednesday. July 18, 2018. So happy you made us a part of your day. Christian, we were talking about the Josh Hader situation with a string of wildly inappropriate tweets unearthed from about 2011, dealing with the ramifications of them in 2018. Certainly not something he was planning on. I mean, probably one of the most exciting nights of his life, quickly turning into a bad one, and then very quickly after that, one of the worst. So very quick descent into misery. And I'm sure this guy didn't sleep last night. He probably won't sleep tonight. Got a pit in his stomach. Everything's in knots. It's just a lot. And you do have some sympathy for that. We've all, you know, stepped in crap once or twice in our lives, and it stays with you for a while. I know I certainly have that happen to me at a very much lighter sense and a much lighter scale. One thing that I did notice, though, is there was a nationwide reaction to some of the news we've been getting about Mike Trout. And this has been a story brewing that Mike Trout's being wasted in Anaheim. Is there any player less appreciated than Mike Trout for what he is? That's been going on for a couple months now. And then we got the article from the Washington Post yesterday talking about his awareness score from Q-Score and how low it is. It compares most closely to Kenneth Faried, who was just dumped for salary cap reasons a week ago in the NBA. Rob Manfred was asked about it at the All-Star game. And this is what he had to say after Mike Trout homered off New York Mets pitcher Jacob DeGrom the third inning last night. Quote, player marketing requires one thing for sure, the player. You cannot market a player passively. You cannot market anything passively. You need people to engage with those to whom you are trying to market in order to have effective marketing. We are very interested in having our players more engaged and having higher profile players and helping our players develop their individual brand. But that involves the player being actively engaged. Manfred said Trout chooses not to spend his time marketing. Mike's a great player and a really nice person, but he's made certain decisions about what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do and how he wants to spend his free time and how he doesn't want to spend his free time. That's up to him. If he wants to engage and be more active in the area, I think we could help him make his brand really, really big. But he has to make a decision that he's prepared to engage in that area. It takes time and it takes effort. Wow. Basically blaming Mike Trout for playing in Anaheim and for baseball being a lesser interesting and lesser watched product, saying that if he did more Subway ads, just picking Subway out of a hat, by the way, that he would be more famous. And I think Mike Trout did do a Subway ad, so I maybe I'm not just pulling that brand out of thin air. I think he has done a commercial for them. If he did more brand endorsements that he doesn't do, then he would be on par with the best players in every other sport. Rob Manfred, like you know the step up the NBA took, like from when David Stern stepped down and Adam Silver stepped in, and everyone's like, man, this is going to be great for the league. Adam Silver's a guy who gets it. We've been backed up in that assertion. Bud Selig had kind of a similar reputation as Stern, but it seems like we're getting game in terms of baseball commissioners not really being able to hold their salt in terms of what is the right thing to say at a certain time and blaming the best player in your game for his lack of marketability on him and his passive nature and not wanting to take on more brand endorsements rings very, very hollow for me.
I do as much as I can, but it's a long baseball season. I've got to pick and choose what I want to do things and go from there. That was Mike Trout after the comments by Rob Manfred. This was supposed to be baseball's biggest night outside of the World Series, right? This is when they're supposed to be marketable, when they're supposed to... They wore mics on the field. They were taking pictures. They were doing interviews. They were allowing people to send out tweets during the game.
Yeah.
They were trying to go full NBA with it. They saw what was working in player marketability in the NBA.
Which also backfired because then players in the dugout could find out what was coming on about Josh Hader during the game.
Yes, absolutely. But they were trying to go full NBA with it.
Yeah.
And what happened? It got overshadowed by this little back and forth between Trout and Manfred, Hader's tweets, and Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
So it's just baseball can't get out of its own way, but I just don't see a way forward for it. When your best player is already saying, the season's too long, I have too much going on, there's no way I can do endorsements. You have your commissioner saying, it's not really our fault, we tried, he just doesn't want to do it. And it consistently gets overshadowed by trade news in yep. another sport that isn't even in season. What's the way forward? It can't win. This was supposed to be its time. It's slow. Nothing's really going on. And it can't do it. It just can't.
Manfred.
Can we call it America's pastime anymore when its best player has a Q score of 22?
I've been saying it for years. Football's America's pastime.
We can't call it America's pastime anymore. It's not America's sport.
And it is football, right?
It is football. Football's America's sport.
It certainly feels
it's
that
what,
way.
It's what makes our military great.
How great of a story is that? Larry Fedora at ACC Media Day just losing his mind.
We got to talk about it later, but best.
We'll make time for that. I want to play some Jabari Parker audio. He was introduced as a new member of the Chicago Bulls today. Some interesting comments both on Chicago Bulls of past, his experience growing up in Chicago, what it means to him to play on the United Center. But, I mean, just to tie a bow on this, I mean, Mike Trout just is in a no-win situation here. What more can this guy do from an on-field productivity standpoint? And what he's doing is historic. What he's doing is once-in-a-generation type 5 tool play, and no one sees it. But what did I tell you about other sports? Steph Curry still got big. He played on the West Coast. Jared Goff was still one of the biggest names. I mean, that's still noon slate. Football doesn't count. I guess the LA Kings have gotten hurt by West Coast, even in their string of dominance. They didn't get the marketing that the Blackhawks got.
Mm-hmm.
Something we've talked about in the past for the Bruins or the Penguins or teams out east. There's an East Coast bias in sports media. Mike Trout's under contract for 4 more years. Apparently he doesn't really care about the exposure, so he might stay in Anaheim. It's not good for the league, though. Like it or not, sports has East Coast bias. Maybe you should have some say about where your players go because you need Mike Trout out east. Playing against Aaron Judge a lot more frequently and at the same time as Aaron Judge a lot more frequently. We'll hear from Jabari Parker when I'm back at Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Hi, this is Mike Barr with Crimson Point Senior Living. If it's time to consider assisted living for a family member or...
That song goes out to our friend Kevin Streelman, who learned that guitar riff to impress the ladies. Have I ever used it to impress a woman? No. But do I know it? I sure do, Christian. I sure do, and I'm not afraid to use it.
That is the first time you've admitted that you actually know the riff to Crash.
No, I mean,
that's great.
Did you ever play the acoustic guitar if you can?
Fair enough.
Did you ever do it?
Is that like... Wait. So is that the modern equivalent to Smoke on the Water?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
No. What's Hey There, Delilah is the equivalent.
It's the modern equivalent to Smoke on the Water.
No, it's either Hey There, Delilah... what are the worst
or
songs?
Wonderwall.
Wonderwall. That was exactly what was on the tip of my tongue. Good Riddance by Green Day.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Forgot about that one.
That's pretty bad. I could rattle off a few
more. Tearjerker, just straight at the campfire.
We got to get to Jabari Parker. Introduced today as a new member of the Chicago Bulls. This audio comes courtesy of the Chicago Bulls. You're listening to Sports Fan Radio 1330.
First and foremost, I want to thank God, you know, for giving me this opportunity, especially coming back home. No better way to live my dream as a kid by playing down the street from where I grew up, the James Jordan Boys and Girls Club. So very fortunate for that blessing, and thank you for the Bulls organization for taking a chance on me, and I'm going to do my best to fulfill their wishes.
Jabari, right here. Darnell Mayberry, The Athletic. What does it mean to you to come home?
It means a lot. It means the most, especially wearing that red. That white, that black is something like a dream, because playing here, you always dream about being a Bull. So that's a dream come true.
Hey, Jabari, John Greenberg, also The Athletic. You know, those of us who covered you here, we saw you had nothing but success, 4 state titles. This is a little bit of a different situation. How would you describe the pressure of playing in Chicago, where you're playing in front of fans who really expect a lot? Fans expect a lot from Chicago players, and especially people from here.
Right. I don't look at it as a lot of pressure, just looking forward to building new memories, especially with the young core that we have. And I was in a similar situation not long ago when we had a guy, Greg Monroe, coming into our organization. And we had high hopes and aspirations, but we kind of fell short. We didn't meet the means that was projected. And that's kind of the ability that I want to have short, you know, limited goals, and just to take it game by game with the young core that we have.
Joe Colley, Chicago Sun-Times. Fred, you just talked about this last week defensively, you know, the facelift you guys are looking to make. With Zach and Jabari defensively, their numbers aren't the greatest. How are you guys going to compensate defensively, and offensively, how do you see him fitting in and what you guys do with the space and pace?
Well, you know, Joe, defensively, I'll talk about that first. You know, we were able to experiment with, you know, pretty much a whole new system these last couple weeks in our mini camp, and when we went out to Vegas, and there were some things that we really liked with what we did, you know, as far as look at the trends of the league and the switching defenses and the different way that teams are playing. I think Jabari and Zach will both fit in very well with that type of system. You know, they're both very athletic. They both have great feet. And, you know, we should be able, in my opinion, to take a step forward with our defense this year. And, you know, Jabari's a guy that can play multiple positions. I think he can guard multiple players on the floor. You know, as far as offensively, he fits in exactly how we want to play. You know, he's as athletic a player. We should have as, you know, you're looking at Jabari and Zach on the wings, you know, we should have as athletic, you know, 2-3. You know, he can slide down and play 4. Is any team in the league. So, you know, if we can be committed to getting the ball up and down the floor, we have a chance, in my opinion, to play a very exciting style of basketball and be a very high-powered offensive team. So, you know, we're really looking forward to it. We've been watching a lot of film these last couple days with how, you know, we can utilize Jabari's skill set and how we can fit in to the team structure, and we're very excited about the different options that we will have.
Jabari right here. Cameron Smith, Comcast, CN 100 Sports. I know you've dreamed about those moments as a kid, maybe donning that Bulls jersey, but when it became more of a reality as it is today, have you thought about, you know, that first run out in the tunnel when they announced your name at the United Center, that you're officially a Bull?
Not yet. I still have yet found my equipment, so I need to put on the gear first before I decide to wear my, you know, the real authentic stuff. So, yeah. But obviously it's stuff that I dream about. But when the time presents itself, then I work my ways.
Hi, Jabari. Casey Johnson from the Chicago Tribune. Beyond the way the contract is structured, what attracted you to this situation?
I mean, it wasn't about me at the end of the day. It was just the stars aligned, and this opportunity presented itself, and it just fit perfectly. So the contract, took care of itself, but it was more like the stars aligned. Oh, the team is no better way to start off with a team that you can grow with, especially being so young, guys that's my age. We can see each other build memories, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Jabari, David Hoff in the Chicago Tribune over here. How are you different than the last time a bunch of people gathered in a room to hear you announce, talk about your basketball future back at Simeon when you announced you were going to Duke, and how long ago does that seem to you?
It seemed pretty long ago. It did, because I had a couple hurdles in my career that filled up a lot of my time. But right now, it's just trying to distance those memories and to create, new enlightening ones.
With the Chicago Tribune, I'm curious how you feel Milwaukee managed your career well and the injuries you dealt with well, and where they left room for improvement, and then where you stand physically right now.
As far as Milwaukee goes, I give them all the praise for, having the patience with me and also developing me and helping me through my injuries, especially the medical staff. They did a tremendous job helping me bounce back and putting together a plan. And I owe it to them, my trainer, Suki and Mike Davey and Troy Flanagan. They really helped a big time in my career, so I credit them. Oh, right now it's just day by day. I'm no exception to the norm. I gotta treat myself as any individual would and just stay on top of things. It's just out of my control where my career took itself, but I can do the best that I can to maintain it.
Steve Ashburner, NBA.com. Jabari, we hear across all sports that when a player is injured, they're present, but they're not really a part of things. And I'm curious how your two layoffs and rehabs, you got back physically, but did that sort of interrupt the plan in Milwaukee such that you're here today? I mean, obviously, they had different dreams and hopes for how this would go.
I can't speak for the front office, but I can speak for my teammates. They really did a great job integrating me within the culture and also keeping me involved, conversation, activity. So, my teammates, they did a really good job, and it made it easy to jump into the mix once I played.
Jabari, you were obviously having your best season when you had the second knee injury. Did you ever have a woe is me moment? And if you did, what helped you get past that beyond the Bucks' strength and training staffs?
The first time I did hurt myself, I did ask why. But then after that, it's just more like a bounce back, because just want to have a mentality that just got to move forward. And I just want to be a trailblazer for a lot of people who are going through struggles, because obviously to not have difficulty in your life is unrealistic. So hopefully, I have a magnifying glass to help other people who are going through the same thing, if not similar situations.
Jabari, Vince Goodwill, NBC Sports Chicago right here. Do you look at this as a chance to hit the reset button on your career because you're still so very young and you're starting back where you started from? Do you look at it as washing away Milwaukee and everything that happened and just starting from scratch here?
No, I don't. I don't want to forget all the hard work that I had, because to forget that I hurt myself and came back is to discredit a lot of my success, because that's in and of itself something outside of the norm. Like, nobody does that. So I want to always remember the setbacks and the failures that I've had in my career so far and just use that as a sense of motivation.
Andy Seligman, AP. Jabari, have you had a chance to reach out to Derrick Rose yet and just talk, ask him about the pros and cons of playing in your hometown team?
No, I haven't yet, but I will in the future.
As this, Cody Westerlin with 670 The Score, for Jabari, as this process played out, negotiations, when did you know you wanted to be a Chicago Bull, and what was that moment like?
Well, I felt like I wanted to be a Chicago Bull as soon as they showed interest, because it's always been a dream to me, especially come back home and being close already. It was just like chipping away, and I just couldn't wait to participate and be a Bull.
Jabari, Deion Miller from ABC 7. How does two ACL surgeries and coming back from that change you as a person and as a player?
I feel like when you struggle more, you only succeed more. It gives me a lot more reason to do better and to go against the odds and go against the grain. So whenever I do something that sets me back, I always look at it as an opportunity to get better.
Jabari, this is Omar from Bulls in Spanish. I mean, you're a fairly young guy. How does it feel to come to a team that's got a bunch of young warriors such as Wendell Carter Jr., Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen? How does that make you feel being part of this team now?
Being a part of this team and this new unit is something I admire, just because we're the same age. We're going to build friendships on and off the court, and that's what it's about. Once we grow closer, we get better as a team.
Jabari, I know you had your own, it's John Greenberg from The Athletic again. I know you had your own career and stuff to worry about, but as a Bulls fan, what did you think of kind of the rise and fall, like what happened with Derek and seeing how high he went and then kind of how low things got? How did you look at it from afar?
I mean, Derek had no lows. He didn't, because he still maintained. And, you know, Derek is a legend no matter what. Like, I don't like how you explain that.
I meant like just how the injuries and stuff.
No rise and falls. Injuries is a part of life. Everybody has an injury, you know, either athletics or normal life. But Derek is, you know, he's one of the best players to ever play the game and one of the best icons in Chicago. So he accomplished his duty already.
Sam Smith with Bulls.com over here. Apparently you had an injury, a lot of talk about that. No young player in the NBA has ever had two of those surgeries at such a young age. Does that concern you going forward, and do you feel you can return to the level you were coming out of college or after your first ACL injury?
I mean, if you didn't see the games this year, then I won't be able to answer that question for you. But I pretty much showed that.
That was Jabari Parker meeting the media. Lots to react to. We'll do so to wrap up Hour 1 when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330.
It's time for the 1330.com. Games, stats, shows, and more. Sports Fan Radio 1330, WNTA Rockford.
It's called Hey There, Delilah. Everybody sing it with me.
I did a very dumb thing during that Jabari Parker audio. I gave Christian a list of the top 10 worst acoustic Tool songs ever. Christian, grab that piece of paper behind you.
I got it.
And share this list with the world. Start from the back.
All right, we'll start from 10.
Yeah.
Banana Pancakes.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Every guy learns how to do that.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Jumper.
Correct.
Of course.
Yeah.
Number 8.
3 chords, real easy.
Number 8, High School, all over again.
Yeah.
Good old Chicken Fried.
Uh-huh.
Number 7, Wagon Wheel.
But Hootie's version.
But Hootie's version, of course.
Not the old Medicine Show.
What was it? Who's the original?
Old Crow Medicine Show, whatever it's called.
Okay.
Know.
Yeah, something like that. Number 6, Daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. No, just eat it up.
No.
Number 5,
yeah.
Crash Into Me.
And that should be higher, right? But as I explained to you during the break, that takes a little more dexterity than people give it credit for.
4, Good Riddance, just tearjerker of all tearjerkers.
Yeah, not a graduation song, folks.
3, Barefoot Blue Jean Night.
Yeah.
Which, when I read I wasn't thinking about it,
yeah.
And then I read it, I was like, wow.
Christian, you have been exposed
triggered.
To that around a campfire one or two times.
I was extremely triggered. I don't know if it was PTSD or what it was. Number 2, what I just played, Hey There, Delilah.
Yeah.
Just a classic. That's a banger, though. That's probably the only one that I respect. Jumper 2.
Is that the one that... Oh, yeah. How many of these would make it onto an iPod?
Well, Jumper, because I love Third Eye Blind. Then probably Daughters, but it's not the best John Mayer song.
Yeah.
Good Riddance and Hey There, Delilah and Wonderwall.
So Wonderwall's number 1 on my list.
Well, yes. So then,
so no Dave Matthews, no country.
Yeah, no Dave. There is some Dave Matthews, but it's not mine. It just ended up on my phone somehow, yeah. Kind of like you too.
What other bands are on there? No Jack Johnson.
Yeah,
none whatsoever.
Also, think there might be some on my phone, but also another one of those that I don't know where it ended up.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't know how a lot of things got there.
No, I got inherited someone's iTunes who had a lot of Dave Matthews and a lot of Jack Johnson. Mm. So.
See, that those people believe in sharing and free love and openness and togetherness, and that's why they gave you the access to
so
that. Maybe
side
you should
note,
take a few hints.
Side note, Jabari Parker is going to be the greatest bull of all time.
Yeah, really coming to the aid of Derrick Rose there.
I am so happy now Derrick Rose.
Also Paul Simeon, guys.
Derrick Rose making a comeback now fully in the cards, but also I just loved how he dealt with the media. He's ready to be back home.
Already kind of brutal with him. Like, we did not pull punches with
and
him
also
either.
Admitted that, hey, defense isn't my strength, but no one in the NBA gets paid to play defense, so I'm going to score some points.
I'm more in on Jabari Parker after this press conference.
Good. And I was already in. Now I'm
double
really up. In. And hope he's our leading scorer and makes an all-NBA team this year.
That's hour one of the program. Got to try to keep us on schedule. You are listening to the Jake Logley Show, live with Christian Hager here in the Sandy Hollow Studios at Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Chevy's for less. Chevy's for less. Chevy's for less. That's right. Chevy's are always less at Alan Brown Chevy.
From time to time, sue me.
She sounds hideous.
Well, she's a guy, so.
It's the Jake Logley Show on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake Logley, Christian Hager, good to be with you on this Wednesday. Mike, what day is it, Mike?
Hump day?
3:01 in the afternoon, had a phenomenally quick-paced first hour, went by too fast. Plenty of time in hour two, tons more to get to, tons more to talk about. Something else that was going on yesterday that we talked about a little bit was a story from Virginia, I want to say. Man at the YMCA got fouled so hard that he called the police. And I called it the most hardo move in the history of the game. Thought he should be banned for life. Christian and I talked about my most tough guy take, which was I refused to call fouls in a pickup game of basketball. But it reminded me of a story Randy Roof once told me on air. So I told him, you guys talk about this and mention this story. So I want you to listen to Randy Roof from this morning on Randy and Company talking about his experience in exhibition basketball and what his usual stance is.
But the one story I have that is kind of funny, and it wasn't a pickup game. Many years ago, they had the, I think it was the high school, but they have it still now, the Rising Stars basketball game between the seniors in the area. Mm-hmm. And at one point, this is almost a bigger deal. It was at the Metro Center at the time, BMO Harris Bank Center. And one year they had where they had the media taking on the senior high school basketball players. Yeah. So
that'd be like 100-2.
Oh, it would be, yeah. And the thing is, you don't realize how big that court is until you're on that court running. But I played in that game, and we were going up and down. And at one point, I was back on defense, and a kid came charging on. And you can usually tell when you can set up for a charge, because, you know, sometimes kids just kind of bury their head and go. And I knew this kid was going all the way. So I stepped in front to set the charge, and he went up, and he nailed me, but I was a lot bigger than him. So I caught him. I grabbed. I set the pick, but as soon as he hit me, he started to go down. I grabbed him so he wouldn't get hurt. But we both went down to the ground, kind of slow motion, to the side. And then I got up, and Steve Gores was coaching the high school All-Stars, and he let me have it. What are you doing out there? You're going to hurt these kids. They've got a future. They could be going to college and stuff. You could be taking away everything they have, and on and on and on. And I was a little embarrassed, but I thought, you know what? No, he was coming in hard. I'm taking the charge. That's the way I learned to play basketball. So I took it at probably the age 30 or so. That's probably when this happened. I took a charge from a 17-year-old and probably almost knocked him out of his college career there. But I got a good ear from Coach Gores, and I don't think I ever played another All-Star game like that again.
One time I got asked to play at the Metro Center for, it was like the Newtown.
So that was from Randy and Company this morning. Randy talking about his experience in a celebrity game, taking a charge. Later he says, he reminds everyone they're like volunteer referees. Let's basically probably just like guys off the street or like parents of the kids they had out there being the refs, just put them in striped shirts and you take a charge against a 17-year-old as a grown man who's that much bigger than them.
And hey, doesn't even own it. Hey, grabs the guy in midair. Just fall. Just take the charge if you're going to take the charge.
At least go straight up. Yell, scream at the top of your lungs when he hits you, and then as you go to the ground, smack your hands against the ground when you hit to make it sound as loud as possible.
Yeah, you're supposed to yell charge. It's supposed to, you know, influence the ref some way or the other.
With your back flat on the ground, you're supposed to go like this directly in the air. Put one hand behind your head,
and then
the other one straight
ahead. And then it looks
like
you're trying to fly up in the air?
Yeah. And that way it looks like you are already asking for the call. And then you sit up and you clap a bunch if they give you the call.
Yes, absolutely. You don't wait till you get up. You just sit up like the Undertaker and then clap. Mm-hmm. And then your teammates come over and congratulate you because guess what? You almost injured someone. Good job.
And listen, Christian.
God, I hate the charge.
Christian advocates for the banning of the charge in just NBA basketball.
God, I hate the charge.
What about celebrity high schoolers versus
automatic
celebrity
ejection? Automatic ejection. I guess he tried to help. He tried to grab him, but no, automatic ejection.
You know what else
would have
helped? Letting the kid
lifetime
have the
ban. Lifetime
not
ban.
A lifetime ban, just a lifetime of shame.
I wish they had video evidence of this. That's what I want. You know what? I need to talk to Steve Gores.
Yeah.
I bet you he has video evidence of this, because this man has the largest video collection, tape collection I've ever seen.
You know, I have a good feeling what's going to happen right now. 815-874-1330, the number to call if you ever want to pitch into the program. Let's go to the phones right now, see who's there. Good afternoon. Who's this?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Jake, how are you?
Could we jump in the back in time machine for just a minute?
Okay.
Okay, this kid that, well, I'm calling him a kid, but you said he was berated for something that he said how long ago?
Seven years.
A year?
Seven.
7 years. Okay. I'm going on 76 years old.
Yeah.
I can remember the time when we told police jokes, we told blonde jokes, we told all kinds of ethnic jokes, and everybody laughed and said, well, it's a joke. Well, it's a joke. But now we've gotten so damn politically correct that you don't dare say anything about anybody. I mean, if they were to go back in my past, I'd have to scrub up 20 or 25 years worth.
Yep. Listen,
so
Jake,
how far back do we go and hold somebody accountable for something they did while they were full of piss and vinegar and young and dumb?
Yeah, he was 17 years old. There's no doubt about that. But being 17 in 19, you know, making up a year now, 1970-something in 2011 are different things. And if you're looking at these jokes here that are these tweets here that you think – or not you think, but I want to make sure you know what these are. These are not jokes. In response to someone, he said, wow, ha-ha, now who am I getting? I was a little too racial epithets after that. One tweet just says, I hate gay people. One tweet just says, KKK. One tweet says, gay people freak me out. This dude comes in with a pony mailbag. Hashtag the bleep. Those are jokes to me. That's not being funny. There's no angle there.
No, that's not a joke. That's just an opinion.
I need a B word that can F word cook and clean.
Oh, well, yeah, but Christ, that B word, that's thrown around a lot lately.
Sure.
I mean, more so. Nobody says it's right. I'm just saying that it's done, you know? And the thing is, we get all upset about that, but we still allow abortion.
Listen, Jake, I'm not. We could change the goalposts. There's nothing here that sounds forgivable. I mean, when you're 17, I mean, maybe I'm harder on this kid because he's 24 years old. He's pretty close to me in age. And at 17, I'm not sending these tweets out. Maybe that's why I'm being really hard on him, because I don't have much. I don't know how much you change between 17 and 24 in 7 years that makes me think, oh, I thought this then, but now I'm taking a total 180. Maybe that's why I'm being real hard on him. I'll admit that, but.
Well, would you say you've changed between 17 and 24?
I certainly didn't start and stop using racial epithets.
Well, okay, beyond that.
Yeah.
There was a maturity level, right? I mean,
100%.
You've matured.
100%.
You've matured since you were 17 to what you are now.
No doubt about it.
And do we know this kid's background? Did he have the same, what do I want to call it, support group that you had?
We don't know.
I'm not saying that's an excuse or even a good reason, but it does get in, you know, I mean, you got to factor all that in. No, what he did was stupid and wrong.
Yeah.
But how long are we going to hold it against him?
Where's the line? You're absolutely right. I don't know where the line is, but if I'm him, I'm inviting every publication from every one of these groups that he's offended, and I take questions for 45 minutes. I let myself be grilled and raked over the coals because, if you have the power to go send these things out, you're old enough to deal with the consequences. Now, if we want to make a new rule that you shouldn't have a social media presence before the age of 18, before the age of 21, we can have that conversation too. But if you're old enough to make these things and say these things with unfettered access to everyone on the planet, you should deal with the consequences.
Well, yeah, that's the deal. You can get on, and of course we're going to hide behind the First Amendment on that one.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about Jabari Parker and what he said about,
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose.
Listen, I think they both went to the same high school. Of course, Jabari Parker's good. They both had two ACL injuries. The only guy that knows what Derrick Rose went through is Jabari Parker because he was a hot stud prospect out of Chicago that got to the league and had injuries derail his career. They've both been very similar. At least Derrick Rose had some success before the injuries. Jabari Parker was, you know, fairly average. So I'm not surprised by, you know, what he said. I mean, it's a cool thing that he stood up for his fellow hometown Chicago project. I think he's wrong. There were highs and lows to Derrick Rose's career.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah. I don't think he gets in the icon semi-real quick.
He's not one of the greatest players to ever play.
He's getting paid well for not playing, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. No, Jabari Parker, yeah. I understand why he said what he said, but he's wrong on a multiple amount of accounts. There were a lot of lows in Derrick Rose's career, and there's no doubt about that. But I respect him for standing up to his fellow Simeon guy and a guy he probably looked up to for a long time. Can't say I blame him, but I think a lot of athletes say things they don't necessarily mean, so to do right by guys they like, you know what I mean?
Okay, you're back in the will on that one.
All right, thanks, Jake.
All right, you betcha, bye.
Our friend Jake, always good to keep us on track, make sure we're asking the pertinent questions. I think Jake represents a lot of people out there. I think Jake represents a lot of potential Brewers fans, potential baseball fans, that they don't want to hold things against. And I'm trying to admit my biases here. You know, I told Christian, we've had this conversation in different contexts. You advocate for young people having access to the internet. These are the consequences. This is the downside to that. Kids say stupid things, and people hold it against them. And I'm sure you're very careful about the things that are still up on the internet from when you were young. I'm sure other people who are using it intelligently do. A lot of people don't, and a lot of people are going to get screwed because of it. And right or wrong, that's just the world we're in. And some of these tweets are just, there's no redeemable quality. I've had older people I know, older people within, you know, certain groups in my life that have made off-color jokes. We've all heard that. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean that you should say in a public forum. Sports Fan Radio 1330, we're going to hit a break. We're back with more right after this.
This is Above the Noise. Bryce Harper is far from perfect. Dubbed the chosen one by Sports...
1330... Another one of those country songs that Christian Haker will tolerate because of his positive association with it. We like to play this song as football teams are running out onto a football field. Got Christian all fired up. That lead guitar riff. Can't say I
blame
you.
We did it more at halftime, but fair.
Yeah. Well, who cares? And I'm over it. Christian got a call from Jake, talked about Josh Hader, and then also Jabari Parker. I mean, I guess I didn't say, I do like Jabari Parker because he's standing up for Chicago guys, Chicago kid. So I do like him more after this press conference, but we both agree he's wrong, right? About Derrick Rose. Like either he doesn't actually believe that or he's just wrong. You're wearing your D Rose shirt today.
There's a reason for that.
There were lows in Derrick Rose's career.
You can't control injuries.
Not coming back from them, you can. When the doctors clear you can control that. You can control never looking like the same player because you clearly have a mental holdup on your knee. You can control that part. You got her injured again. I'm not saying that led to the meniscus tear. I'm saying you can control gaining confidence back and not coming back when you're cleared almost unanimously across the psychological board has been determined to not be good for your psyche. That can be a low. A low can also be going MIA on the Knicks for 2 days. Could also be taking a leave of absence from the Cavs last year. Those would all be what I would consider lows.
I think he was more focusing on his time in Chicago.
Going through a sexual assault accusation, probably a low.
You can't control injuries.
Yeah.
But so to blame his injuries for...
I didn't blame his injuries.
But that's what the question in the press conference that it's referring to was referring to.
And then he clarified
and
said, I'm just talking to the highs and lows. And Jabari Parker said there weren't any lows. And I'm saying, yeah, there were. Quite a few of them, actually. The battle between him and Jimmy Butler for who's going to be the alpha on the team. That's a low.
That Jimmy Butler didn't come on until after the injuries, until later in Derrick Rose's Bulls
tenure.
Wait,
so now the injuries are relevant?
That's not... No, what are you doing right now? Absolutely not. What I'm saying is, Jimmy Butler came on... After these injuries that happened, that Derrick Rose had no control over,
okay.
Then Jimmy Butler comes on near the later stages of that.
Yeah.
Okay? The battle, I felt like, was more manufactured to a certain extent, and also it came so late when it was already pretty well known that Derrick Rose was going to be moved, that
isn't
that
low think, when the top overall pick is now talking about being moved?
Did he actually ever talk about it, though?
Did he ever talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
about
remember
being
the
moved.
Preseason press conference when he talked about free agency that wasn't coming up for a year and a half down the road?
Talked about being moved. I don't know if that's a low.
I'm saying it's a low when you know that
he's
the team is on the fence about keeping.
He's still an icon of Chicago, and you can't control injuries.
Now you changed the goalposts. He said highs and lows, and Jabari Parker said there were no lows. He said he was
Which is a bit hyperbolic, but that doesn't matter.
Also said he was one of the greatest to ever play the game.
Okay, I don't mind that. To do what he did at the age he did, to win the MVP at the age he did, to carry that team at the age he did, yeah, we could give that a little bit of thought.
He's going to be the only MVP winner to not be in the Hall of Fame.
He'll probably still
make
it.
Are you one of the greatest players in the history of the game if you don't make the Hall of Fame? You've agreed to with that statement up until today.
I don't know if he's going to make it, yes, but... It's not a for sure thing. He'll be the only MVP that's not a sure thing.
815-874-1330 is the number to call if you want to get on the air with us. We're going there again right now. Good afternoon. You're on Sports Fan 1330.
Hi, this is Al from Facility.
Hey, Al, are you still there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I won't move.
Okay. What's on your mind?
I want to shift years for a little bit.
Okay.
There's a lot of talk on the East Coast making a comeback and beating the Eagles this year.
Yeah.
What do you
think? You broke up. Who's going to beat the Eagles this year?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I heard the last part of the question. Someone's going to beat the Eagles this year.
The Giants. What do you think about that?
The Giants, you know what, Al? I don't think the Giants have much of a shot. They drafted Saquon Barkley, don't really have a quarterback. I don't think they have much of a shot at beating the Eagles. The Eagles are pretty darn good.
I'm with you, Jake.
All right. Well,
I agree. Thanks for answering.
Thanks for trusting the process, Al. Take care.
Bye.
I think that might be our friend Al from Philly calling in and checking in with us. We appreciate her listening very, very much. Listen, we were talking about Jabari Parker and the Bulls and whether to call him one of the greatest players of all time. There's no way I could give him that. There's no way I could give him that title. What has he done?
Which is fair. The things that Jabari Parker said were a bit hyperbolic. But...
And I understand why he was hyperbolic.
But...
Yeah.
There has been a shift since Derrick Rose moved on, since the injuries happened, that was extremely negative, especially in the media, especially not as much with the fans, but especially in the media, that put a lot of undue blame on him for things he could not control, to the point where because he moved on, because he never got over the hump and brought the Bulls the championship that everyone kind of expected, we forget about the fact that he wasn't a first overall pick. There were questions if they should take Beasley over him. Could he deal with the pressure of being back in his hometown, being the hometown kid? Could he get out from under the shadow of Michael Jordan? All these things that he did at a young age, culminating in an MVP season, that we can debate if he actually deserved it that year or not.
He did.
With everything he did, with the impact he made at such a young age, the importance of Derrick Rose to the Bulls organization to get them over that hump, to bring them back into contention, and to put them back on the national map cannot be overlooked. The fact that he got through this weird middle phase before the rebuild, before all that, probably put them in the position to rebuild, cannot be overlooked. And yes, were these statements a bit hyperbolic, but to just dismiss them offhandedly and things like that, I think is unfair.
He either knows he's being hyperbolic or he's wrong. It's one of those two things.
I don't think he's fully wrong. That's my point.
I don't know what... I see what you're saying in terms of an MVP season. That makes him one of the greatest players to ever come out of Chicago.
Okay.
Maybe in competition for the best player. Kevin Garnett was a Faraguay out of Chicago as mm-hmm. well. Won an MVP. Right?
Yeah.
Also won titles.
Yep.
So he probably would be wearing the crown.
Anthony Davis is out of Chicago.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good players out of Chicago.
Has yet to have the accolades. One of the best players to come out of the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Simeon product.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jabari Parker.
Yep.
Jabari Parker probably idolized Derrick Rose for a good amount of his youth.
Absolutely. They both played point guard for Simeon.
Hard to imagine Jabari Parker's ever going to talk about the struggles that Derrick Rose had. You can't also ignore that as much as injuries derailed his career and the talent and took away a part of his game that was very integral to his success, you also cannot run from the fact that Derrick Rose got in his own way a lot too. You can't run from that. Derrick Rose was also Derrick Rose's worst enemy in a lot of situations in his career. Reports are cleared by doctors, didn't come back. Also might not have attacked his rehab that hard. Also went totally AWOL during a season with the Knicks. Had to take 2 months off with the Cavs last year. That's a lot of strikes against you being in your own way, in your own head too much.
Yeah, is there a bit of the case to be made that, yeah, he is a head case to a certain extent? Yeah.
Can I give you icon status if you have those things racking up and probably a few more that I'm forgetting at the moment? Can I give you icon status? Can I give you greatest of all time? One of the greatest of all time. Can I give you... What's the other thing he used? There were no lows. Of course there were. There were a myriad of them. There might have been quantitatively more lows than there were highs. Not qualitatively, but quantitatively. Derrick Rose's biggest high was losing in the Eastern Conference Finals. To LeBron James, who you all know, everyone knows how much I love. But that's the height of it, and the MVP. Which will mostly be remembered by the fact that he'll be the first to win it and knock it in the Hall of Fame. Which, again, maybe is a conversation for a different day. And I'll let you tie the bow on it if you have anything else to add.
No, I just don't know if we are talking about Derrick Rose's career as a whole or in those comments.
It's unfinished.
If he's talking about his career in Chicago, because the question was about his time in Chicago and following after Derrick Rose and his time in Chicago, which to a certain extent, a lot of these questioning if he wants to play basketball, the family issues, all of that came a little bit after. Once mm-hmm. he moved on, once he wasn't in his hometown. The whole problem with the Knicks situation is he wanted to come back home, and he came back home to Chicago, and that's when he went AWOL. And you've heard about it now, people coming up to him on the street. Hey, Derek, you're the man. I used to be. I'm not anymore.
Broken.
He's broken because of an injury that he couldn't control. I think a lot of the mental aspects came from kind of feeling a little bit disrespected, but also just, hey, this is a life-altering injury, and something that it's not really that easy to come back from. And it happened more than once. But I just don't want us to ever diminish or dismiss what he did for the city of Chicago and what he did for the Bulls organization ever. That's all. And I'm happy that Jabari is coming in with preaching the virtues and espousing this to the media. That is what I'm happy about. That Jabari Ben, I don't really care about, you know, we went to the same high school, but I'm going to be my own guy and I'm going to do my own thing. But the fact that he is reminding people of how important he was to the city of Chicago and saying, you know, how important he was to his career is great. That's a great start to everything. And I think it's important to do that.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. We're going to hit another break, back with a special guest. When we return, don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Mike Barr with Crimson Point Senior Living. If it's time to consider assisted living for a family member or friend, please know that we're committed to providing a lifestyle for our residents that emphasizes family, friends.
98.
Welcome back in Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley here with you until 5 o'clock on this Wednesday, July 18, 2018. Let me tell you what. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of a lifetime. For the last week, week and a half, edging on now, I've gotten to do mornings on B103 with one of Rockford's newest celebrities, Miss Judy Diamond.
Wow, thanks.
And Judy came in yesterday for the first time and joined us on Afternoon Sports. And if you want to call it afternoon sports, on the afternoons on 1330, because we just went wild. We had way too much fun having that much time on our hands to kill. We went all over the map, and Judy had so many questions that revolved around sports, and I didn't do a good enough job of getting those questions out to make sure we could talk some sports. So Judy asked, and I demanded, that she come back in, and so then we can address some of these hot-button issues that she's always wondered about, because there's so many things. If you're not that into sports, if you don't follow them, someone in your life does, your significant other does, you wonder why this matters, right? Like, who cares? I barely care, and this is what I do for my job, right? So I'm sure there's tons of questions, things you've always wondered about that maybe the meathead that I am, I could shed some light on.
I love all that. You did a great job, by
the
way.
Thank you very much.
You know, thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
It's been so fun the last week and a half with you because just the energy you bring, the positivity, and the fact that you know a lot about all these different subjects blows my mind.
We try to. You should know a little bit about a lot of things, right?
That's yes. Good. Yes.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you.
We've talked about it off air a little bit. You wanted to bring it up on air because you were Miss Cheerleader. You're a cheer mom, and you got lots of questions concerning the sports landscape and how cheerleading is treated in the sports landscape.
Yes. Okay.
Yep, clear throat.
Do you or do you not believe cheerleading is a sport?
Will you give me a chance to elaborate?
Of course, I will.
I'll give you a yes or no off the bat, but okay. I want the chance to explain.
Oh, I would never cut you off.
No.
Okay, sorry, gotta go. I'm kidding.
See ya, nerd. I'm taking the show over, she says.
Okay, and the reason I'm asking is because this is a debate that goes on constantly.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Cheerleaders don't get enough respect. I agree with that.
Right, so I'm going to let you have your say, and then I'm going to have say too.
It's not a sport, but neither of a lot of things that people call sports. There are games, there are competitions, there are fights, and there are sports. There's one other one, races. There are races too. Cheerleading is a competition. Why? Because there's a subjective scoring involved. At the end of the day, you have judges that are deciding based on whatever criteria they explain. Sports are, to me, very objective. You put the ball in this place this many times, so you get this many points. Cheerleading is how in line were you? How in sync were you and the rest of your team? How much did your rotation land on time? Were you in sync with your music? All of these things that come up with a subjective score. So it's not a sport, it's a competition. Every cheerleader who's ever competed, high school, college, whatever, way more athletic than anyone else on the planet. To do the level of gymnastics, to be that in sync, to have that rhythm, amazing feat of athleticism. Not a sport, though.
Very interesting. Now I have to think about this a second, okay? Because
you want the right. You want, because that comes with a certain prowess, right? I'm saying we should take sports down a notch and bring all those other things up.
I totally get what you're saying. Okay. And we won't even talk about the fact that it made sense when you said games because they call them the Olympic Games. I was going to argue with that.
Golf's a game. Golf's not a sport.
Right. So I'm going to go to something else then.
All right.
That, I give you that, all right? And I still have to think a little bit more on that. But I want you to listen to what the actual definition of the word sport is.
Yep.
Looked up. An activity involving physical exertion and skill in which an individual or team competes against another individual or team for entertainment, athletics, or fun.
Here's the thing, then. If we want to get really specific, in cheerleading, you're not competing against one another team. You're competing against multiple. Does that make it a competition? Does that make it a game? Does that make it something else? Because this is one-on-one. One individual versus one individual or one team versus one team. Cheerleading is not that way.
Yes, it is.
No, you're not, no, you're going against all, every other team that's in that competition.
But eventually at the end, you're going against another team. It ends up being you and
there's
some
no,
other
there's
people.
There's no direct competition. You perform, they perform in isolated events.
Okay. Now I'm going to get mad.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Basketball. Baseball.
Right.
They're all competing against each other until they get down to the final two, the final four. I have to play the stupid brackets.
Right,
I don't even
game,
understand it.
But in a game, right, you got the Bulls versus the Pistons. When they perform, there's always two teams on the court at the same time. In cheerleading, are there ever two teams on the floor at the same time?
I'd have to look at the competition.
Are they competing with each other one-on-one and going side-by-side seeing who performs better? No, one team performs, they get scored. The other team performs, they get scored.
Okay, now wait a second then. Then give me this. What do you consider a sport?
The big four. Basketball's a sport. Hockey's a sport. Baseball. Football. Some of the weird Olympic ones. But if it's two teams going on at the same time, it's an objective. The ball has to go this place this many times. Then I think it's a sport.
We'd have
to go case by case. Swimming's a race. I told you earlier, swimming's just who doesn't die the fastest. It's a survival.
Okay, I'm still going to...
I have friends who swam, so I gave them a lot of grief on that.
I'm still going to disagree on you with this because I still believe that has nothing... That's not the definition. It says against one another. It doesn't say against one another at the same time. That's not what the definition says.
Right, but it says one team, an individual, going against another team or
individual.
Yeah,
but not at the same time.
Yeah, but that's implied.
No, it's not implied if it was an implied. I'm getting very specific.
I like that.
Here's the thing. I mean, look... When you take football, for example,
right.
In high school, it's 90% of the time, at least the public schools in St. Louis and L.A., they're funded. Cheerleading is not. Guess how many injuries more?
Yeah.
More.
Absolutely cheerleading.
Okay.
You're taking way more risk.
We have no funding for that.
Absolutely.
So I get very angry
100%
because we
agree.
Need that funding.
100% agree.
And the respect. And so that's why I believe. Cheerleading should be considered a sport.
I'm saying we should stop giving respect to the word sport and give respect to the word athlete. Cheerleaders are athletes. 100%.
Well, and so the football players aren't?
They are too.
So
but
they
I'm
can
saying,
be both?
I'm saying the definition of sport, the distinction of sport isn't relevant to me. I don't care about calling something a sport. I believe we should just worry about, are they athletes? They absolutely are. They should get a similar amount of respect. I mean, we could get into like college athletics. We could get really specific and say dollars in.
Right.
Dollars out.
That's true. That's
football
true.
Brings
you're
more
right.
Dollars
you're
in
right.
So they get more dollars out. So we could get specific there, but you're absolutely right. The high school level, they should absolutely be getting the same level of funding and resource as the big ones that everyone shows up for on Friday nights. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
We agree 100%.
I think we can agree to disagree, actually.
We absolutely can.
Because a lot of what you said makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
I still believe that as the definition, because it also says, a physical activity, pastime,
yep.
Athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
So you would agree with me to say that playing pool is not a sport.
Not a game.
It's a game. Yeah. All right. Tennis.
That's a good one. I think that would fringe on sport. It's a country club sport.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to agree with you. And actually tennis is really hard on the body. So okay.
I could not play tennis worth a lick. I tried it once.
It's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I'll agree with you on that. What about trampolining in the Olympics? It was in the Olympics in Rio.
Let's call it a competition because it's subjectively scored.
And they do call the Olympics the games, right?
They're the Olympic games.
Okay. Never the Olympic sports.
Yeah. Fighting, boxing, MMA, not sports, fights.
Okay. Well, now you're making sense. Now this is making a lot
NASCAR,
more sense.
NASCAR, not a sport, it's a race.
Thank you for saying that.
I'm even across the board. I'm not discriminating against sports that are usually occupied by women. I'm saying it all takes athleticism. NASCAR takes exceptional hand-eye coordination, exceptional instincts, exceptional reflexes.
I hate that you're making sense. I wanted to be
Isn't
right.
Isn't it the worst?
Yes.
When you're like, because I said no, but I wanted the chance because I know right when someone hears no, they're like, I hate him. But I wanted.
I don't hate you. You know that. I wanted to argue with you, but I still don't think you've quite won me over yet because I still am going to go by
Webster's or whatever dictionary.com, whatever you're using. Yeah, sport is much more broad term, but I'm defining it because, you know, I want to be the ruler of all things. I want to decide what the definition of some things are. That, you know, there takes a little bit more than just an athletic competition. They're all athletes. Cheerleaders are so much better athletes than I could ever hope to be.
You'll never be king yet. A prince. Give king a little bit royalty. Okay. Yeah. Maybe a prince in training. Yeah.
How about a czar? How about an emperor?
All right, I'll give you that. But I have learned a lot, and that's the most important thing. And now
I
have a lot of respect for you and your brains, and I need to think more about this, though.
But if I don't have the guts to say this to a cheerleader, I don't have the guts. I shouldn't hold the opinion. And that's why it's important to talk to you about it. I have to have the guts to say it to someone who might disagree with me.
More than a cheerleader, the parent.
The parent, the cheer mom, absolutely.
Yes.
I have to have the guts. Now I'm broadcasting this to the world. I'm the biggest dummy on planet Earth. You trapped
no,
me on this
No, but you're
one.
Making sense. And what I want to know is what other people think about that. I mean, if they agree with you, if have you changed their mind? And if so, in what way? I'm curious about that. So definitely bring it to the B103. I'm going to do some more research because I think there's still some flaws.
I think you're right.
But it's an ongoing conversation. I don't think people hate you at all. I think what you're saying makes sense.
Yeah. And listen, 815-874-1330. If you want to call in, if you're a cheer mom, you're listening, you want to call and explain something that hasn't been explained to me yet, that Judy didn't bring up, but you think's important, I'll take your call anytime. Whether we're during the break and you don't want to go on air, that's okay too. If you want to come on air and talk to me about it, call me a big dummy. That's cool, too. That's what I opened myself up for. 874-1330. It's always available. Thank you to Miss Judy Diamond for coming in 2 days in a row. Twice in a row, I'm lucky.
So awesome. And I have to also tell you that one more thing. When you're calling, I wanted to know, just thought about this.
Yeah.
If sports gets more money by being called a sport, both professionally and in the school.
It's a great point. That's
then
another
it would
topic.
Make a difference.
Take to the morning for you to come back. I love that.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Miss Judy Diamond. Catch her at Magic Waters this afternoon. Just a little bit. You're heading down there right now.
Yep.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. We're back with more right after this.
It's time for the Sports Fan Scoreboard.
I'm Randy Ruff, and here's what we're talking about in the state line. Rockford's Fred VanVleet has a new teammate to pass to as his Toronto Raptors completed a trade with the San Antonio Spurs that brought in all-star Kawhi Leonard. Leonard, along with Danny Green.
Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager with you till 5 o'clock. Got a very fun phone call during the break, Christian. Special guest joining Dean Irvin at 5 o'clock. You won't want to miss it. Riding with the King on overtime. Swerving with Irvin, as some have liked to call it. Should be a blast if my call that I got during break there turns out to be true. It should be a lot of fun. You're going to want to tune and stay with us through 5 o'clock tonight. Christian, you brought a story to my attention that I'm not sure I would have seen.
Well, I'm glad I could help.
Without finding just some of the best quotes on planet Earth. Every once in a while, and at the beginning of the show, we called football America's pastime, right?
Oh, yes.
And we're not backing down from that.
It is definitely America's pastime at this point in time.
That can be true, and what we're going to talk about can be some of the dumbest crap I have ever heard in my entire life. ACC Media Days. North Carolina head coach Larry Fedora met the media. Last time I was talking about Larry Fedora, he hired Tim Beckman as a volunteer assistant 1 year after Beckman was fired from the University of Illinois with cause for player mistreatment. And then 1 year later, he hires him on the UNC staff as a volunteer tape watcher. The outrage was so much, he had to dismiss Beckman immediately. But that was the last time I really heard from Larry Fedora until today. Because Larry Fedora exemplified why I don't trust football. Because a coach at this high of a level, that's been this successful,
can hold these views and keep his job. That's why I'm suspicious. Luckily, I've gotten the chance to be around a lot of high school football coaches in our area over the last year, year and a half. I've gotten to ask them questions about head injuries and about a lot of things surrounding the game. And I've been very satisfied with the answers I've gotten. So I don't mean to make it about football coaches here specifically in our state line. High school coaches, Jim Schrader, the head football coach at Rockford University. A lot of local football coaches I've talked to here gave great answers to these types of questions. Larry Fedora gave one of the dumbest answers I've ever heard. Oh, and said some other things about relating football to what I would imagine is the political climate in our country. Christian, why don't you give me some quotes?
Our game is under attack.
Yeah, say it like this. Bum, 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 bum,
I fear bum, 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 that bum, the bum. Game will be pushed so far from what we know that we won't recognize it 10 years from now.
Can I say something real quick? And while I say this, you can load up the national anthem.
Oh, you want it? You want it?
because we are under attack, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that we thought we held dear is being taken from us.
Oh, who are we going to get it today?
Everything
oh, yeah.
is turning into 15 yards here and 15 yards there and an automatic ejection over there. And I won't stand for it anymore.
Hold on. There it is.
Christian, I need more quotes. Talk to me about America here while Larry Fedora plays underneath the national anthem.
And if it does.
Yeah.
If it does change from the game that we know, our country will go down too.
Yep. Our country will go down, ladies and gentlemen. If football goes down. You know when they say, as California goes, so does the nation? As football goes, so does the nation.
Do you know what he was talking about there?
What's that?
Larry Fedora once talked to a general in the U.S. Army.
Right.
And his first question was, what makes the American military the best in the world?
Money.
And the general's answer.
It's money.
And the general's answer? The United States is the only football playing nation in the world! Woo!
Could we be any more? Is this Neil Diamond? What is going on here?
No, this is the greatest recording of the national anthem of all time. Marvin Gaye.
I feel like this is doing a disservice to Marvin Gaye, if I could be real upfront.
All right, sorry. I'll get something a little bit better. Here we go. This one fits a little bit better. Oh, wait, we can't do that. That's interesting. There we go. This one's a little bit more classic. Good old Leanne Rimes.
Hmm.
I don't think it's been proven that the game of football causes CTE. We don't really know that. Scientists have never said that. Are there chances for concussions? Of course. There are collisions, but the game is safer than it's ever been. Safer than it's ever been. Fedora has doubled down on the decline of football impact in the state of the United States. I think it would be the decline of the country, yes.
It would be the decline of the country.
The decline of the country. If we take out tackling in football, if we take out the violent collisions, it will be the decline of the country. Because you know why? Our game is under attack. The game that we love.
Yeah. If it weren't for patriots like Larry Fedora, where would this...
We wouldn't know. We wouldn't know.
Where would this country be? No proof that CTE actually exists. Or no proof that CTE and football have any relation.
It was pointed out by another writer that UNC... has a renowned sport-related traumatic brain injury research center on its campus. The head football coach does not believe sports have any effect on you getting CTE at the same school where they have a renowned sports-related traumatic brain injury research center. On the same campus that the bastion of American virtues And the health of football is the head football coach.
We got to create an award for guys like this that we can award on some basis, maybe just as often as we want to, for when you really just put your foot so far down your mouth and you can taste your ankle. This is just atrocious. And again, it makes me nervous, not about football coaches here, but we got a whole country full of football coaches that are not as educated as Larry Fedora and haven't had as much success. And they're impacting kids' lives at younger ages. Thank God that we have football coaches like the ones I've gotten to talk to. So that's scary if that's what a D1 football coach has to say. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Hour 3 is kicking off next. Christian finally gets his moment of vindication on his prediction last night coming true. It's coming back when we return. Sports Fan Radio 1330.
I'm sorry. Our assessment, it's the heart.
Who's moving?
About an hour.
Space out?
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
Welcome in to the Jake Logley Show on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Sports Fan 1330, hour 3 of Jake Logley's show. My name's Jake Logley. He is Christian Hager. Good to be with you on this Wednesday, July 18, 2018. And I guess I never got the chance to formally thank Miss Judy Diamond, second day in a row, coming in. I mean, yesterday we had so much fun, Christian. We bounced way too much all over the place. We were just having a classic case of too much fun, so we came in with a purpose today. And Judy's out at Magic Waters right now, so go hang out with her. It's Wet Wednesday out at Magic Waters. Great reason to head out there. 86 degrees currently, so plenty warm. Feels like 84. That humidity is down a little bit. A lot more comfortable. Is this cool enough for you, Christian? Is today an appropriately tempered day?
Is it below 80 degrees?
God, you're such a pain in the butt. It has to be below 80? And warmer,
for it to be comfortable,
and
yeah.
And warmer than what?
What? And
that's the ceiling.
Than?
What's the floor?
What's the floor for me to be comfortable?
Yeah.
55.
55 and 79 is the window with which you are actually happy with the weather.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Sounds about right.
That is just electively choosing to be miserable.
I don't know about electively, but fair.
Yeah. If you convince yourself that you can only be happy with your environment within a 24-degree delta, it's just setting yourself up for failure.
I need to stop teeing you up with ways to use the word delta.
Oh, I love it so much. It's the best.
Like, I tee you up with ways to sound smart. You tee me up with ways to sound, I don't know, but not great.
Not great, Bob?
Not great, Bob.
I think you sound great all the time.
Well, that's just because you like the sound of my voice.
I think you're just picky.
Me? Picky? Never.
You're very particular.
Oh, particular. I like that. Yeah. That's a better explanation for my life.
you have tastes.
I have a particular set of skills.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I think you have a very broad set of skills.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but you're very particular.
Very.
You're picky. Christian, you were also right yesterday.
Oh, was I?
Half right.
Roll the tape.
Now, you dare me. That's a dangerous game.
I will talk for the next 5 minutes while you go to the studio and find the tape.
We can do it in here during the break. So we'll do that and we'll get some official clarification. Do not let me forget.
I won't let you forget because I am very confident that I said within the next 3 days,
yeah,
because they're the three slowest days, we're going to have something to talk about, and it's going to be Kawhi Leonard getting traded to where?
Toronto.
For whom?
DeMar DeRozan.
And what happened last night into this morning?
Got traded to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan.
Wow.
And you were right about those last two thirds.
Okay.
But the first third.
Oh, you think it's revisionist history?
I'll give you 67% credit.
I'll take that, but I'm going for the A.
Yeah. See, I'm 100% positive you got the last two thirds. You got the destination and the return totally.
And that's
correct.
Fine. And you can fail me if I'm wrong. This is me challenging your grade.
67% is a failing grade.
Well, depending.
Well, good point.
But I'm challenging my grade, and as the teacher,
yeah,
you can just flunk me,
yeah,
for even challenging you if I'm wrong.
I won't do that.
Well, I'm just giving you the option.
All right. I appreciate that.
So speaking of, this is the greatest trade of the last, year that I can remember, where both guys, A, got lied to by their respective teams, and B, just sound absolutely thrilled to be traded. They don't sound thrilled at all.
I would guess that DeMar was probably lied to by the Raptors about
they
their intention to keep him.
They legitimately told him in Summer League. They had a meeting with him and his team at Summer League and said, we have no intentions of trading you.
Right. But how did the Spurs lie to Kawhi?
they told him later, we were just not going to trade you.
Mm. But he wanted to be traded, so that's
not a lot. He requested the trade, but they said, we're not finding anything. We're not going to trade you.
Yeah, and then they did. That's not a bad lie. If anything, it's like, oh, thank you. You lied to me about the fact that you're not going to trade
me. But now he's not going to play for Toronto.
He's not. He's going to sit out for Toronto?
That is what the early reports are, is that he is considering. He hasn't taken his physical yet. He has 48 hours to take his physical. According to Windhorst on ESPN earlier today, there's a chance that the Raptors want him so bad that they're just going to waive the physical, not even have him take it.
And
so,
then spend
just
the rest
so he's
of the
offseason roster.
Talking to him.
Yep. But the early reports are he is willing to sit out for the season.
I mean,
he's going to L.A. next year. He's already made those intentions clear. His team's already made those intentions clear. He's going to L.A. in free agency.
Said that about Paul George last year.
Paul George said he was thinking about it. I don't think we had as much.
I think we had a very similar amount of evidence. I think that's recency bias.
But also, Paul George never threatened to sit out when he came to OKC.
But he threatened to sit out in Indiana.
He did.
And that is a difference. That is a difference. But comparative to where Oklahoma City sits in the Western Conference, Toronto is in a same, if not better, place in the East.
Can we just talk about how sad it is for DeMar for a second? He was the franchise player. He was the symbol.
I always like Kyle Lowry more, but go ahead.
He's the symbol of Toronto basketball because he was the homegrown guy.
Yeah.
He came up in that organization. He was the next. He was the heir apparent after Chris Bosh left. And he thought, man, I finally get out from LeBron. I don't have to worry about LeBron anymore.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Yeah.
You're going to the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. Guess what happens now? You got to play LeBron again. Sorry, man. Sorry. I feel bad because it's so visible that LeBron just lives in Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan's heads. And they were finally free. They were the pasture was clear. There was open fields, and then they took him and they said, "Here you go, go lose to LeBron some more."
Can Greg Popovich do anything to recover that though?
What, like get into DeRozan's head and be like, "Hey, we'll just play for the team and you'll be good."
Yeah, trying to get him into that Spurs system where they're not afraid of anybody. Pop has taken down LeBron before.
Yeah, and DeMar's had nothing but great things to say about Popovich since every single time they've played the Spurs all-star games. He's talked about there was a fun quote where someone asked him, "Hey, with Kawhi out, with this person out, with all these injuries, are you a little bit more like confident going into this matchup against the Spurs?" And he said, "Not really, because Greg Popovich could probably pick five of you, put you out on the court, and they'd still have a pretty decent chance of winning." That was last year, 2 years ago, that he made those comments. So he's always had great things to say about Popovich. I love this fit for the Spurs. Yeah, if DeMar buys in, this is fantastic.
Walk me through this part. With a Kawhi Leonard that is interested, engaged, and healthy, the San Antonio Spurs are the blank seat in the Western Conference.
Last season, with how LaMarcus Aldridge was playing, with Murray coming on, Kawhi engaged satisfied. Playing 4 seed, 3 seed, 3-4 seed.
Kawhi out, DeMar DeRozan under the same parameters, healthy, satisfied, engaged, playing well.
4-5 seed.
So they only take us one or two step back in the Western Conference.
I think
Kawhi's a top 5 player in the league, dude.
But the way that the system will fit, the fact that Rudy Gay is coming back. The only thing that scares me is a little bit with DeMar and Rudy Gay being out on the court at the same time. You lose a lot of shooting. There's going to be a lot of mid-range jumpers taken.
Yeah.
But DeMar DeRozan fits very fully into the Manu Ginobili role in Popovich's offense. Just a more athletic Manu Ginobili. And
Ginobili,
I'm excited about that.
Might have been able to shoot a little bit better, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But they were both, they weren't ever solely known for their shooting.
No.
And DeMar has improved a little bit, but he's still scared to shoot threes.
Yeah.
He would rather just take two dribbles in and take a contested two than an open three sometimes.
Well, Manu's not scared of anything.
Manu has never been scared in his entire life.
Mostly of his hairline.
Well, his hairline was scared of him. But
I ran away.
But same thing with LeBron.
Yeah,
but,
correct.
I think he fits perfectly. Him and LaMarcus Aldridge running pick and rolls is going to be really fun to watch because DeMar DeRozan was a really good ball handler in pick and rolls last year. It's something that's overlooked because he was not the primary ball handler with Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet there. But I love this move for San Antonio. Yeah, I think this is the best return. The only thing that sucks for them and why people are saying Toronto won this trade, if you get Kawhi here, if he actually somehow decides to play and buys in, you now have the best player in the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely.
It's him or Kyrie.
Right. Then I'm trying to think whether I'd give it to Kyrie or Kawhi.
And then you have Giannis coming up, but I don't think you can give him yet. He's a step away. He's half a step away from really taking over that role. And they put so much protection on that first round pick that the Spurs are not going to get that pick because it's protected 1 through 20, and then it just becomes a second rounder after this year. So that was a great move for them. Also, they didn't give up OG or any young assets outside of Jakob Poeltl, who was really good, under the radar good last year, had a lot of good advanced stats, and had a couple good games where eye test he passed pretty well. But for the Spurs, you should have been able to get more out of Toronto. You should have been at least able to get OG, especially with how much he's been coming on. You want to get him. So that looks bad for the Spurs. Also giving up Danny Green, who is a really good defender and also your best shooter, hurts the Spurs. But I do think DeMar will show out in that system and kind of make people turn their heads a little bit and turn around on this trade. Because right now, it's overwhelmingly for Toronto. Most of the reactions I've been reading, been seeing, because if Kawhi doesn't show up, oh well, you got out from DeMar's contract, you rebooted the team, and you didn't have to give up any of your young talent, really. But if DeMar plays the way I think he's going to play for San Antonio, everyone will completely turn around on this trade.
We've done this experiment before the Kawhi trade, and we thought it wasn't close. Let's see how it does now. The Golden State Warriors versus the best five the East can put out. Kyrie, Ben Simmons, Kawhi, Giannis, and Joel Embiid.
Lose in seven. But here's the thing.
I'd be pretty interested in it, though.
We have not got the Kawhi versus Kevin Durant battle that we have rightly deserved since he's been in Golden State.
Could be in the finals.
Giannis
Toronto-Boston is interesting in the East semis. Or East finals.
Giannis is putting Draymond Green in an absolute blender and exposing him.
Okay.
Joel Embiid, insert center here, have fun. Well, Jordan Bell, have fun. But at the end, well, maybe, if he's healthy. At the end of the day, I still think Steph and Klay get it done.
Yeah.
Now you're just taking Kevin Durant even more out of the equation. But I still think Steph and Klay get it done in a 7-game series.
Kyrie has got the better of Steph in a lot of cases in finals matchups, though.
Yeah, but that wasn't a healthy Steph.
Have we ever seen healthy Kyrie?
Yeah, the year that they won.
That's a good point.
He was really their only consistently healthy guy because LeBron was out for a couple games that year. Kevin Love was out.
All right, we got to get that hot take yesterday clarified. I also want to take a Bulls angle on this trade because I saw some really stretching Bulls fans trying to make another guard packs burn based on what the return was, what the trade was today for a Kawhi Leonard. You are listening to Sports Fan Radio 1330. More NBA talk, Chicago Bulls talk when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
I'm sorry. Our assessment, it's the heart.
Who's most qualified?
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a
Another
Friday
great addition
night.
From our list of songs you cannot play when the acoustic get busted out. If you want to show off that you know how to play the acoustic guitar, I assembled 10 songs that do not count for your repertoire. Basically, is it just a neutral, like they don't count? Or is it a full-blown negative that you tried to pull?
I think it depends on the situation that you pull it out from.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't. Those are the 10 that I feel like you can't even do ironically.
No?
No, I don't think so. Maybe I'm off on that. Maybe I'm just too paranoid about
the
stigma.
Yeah, you're too paranoid, period. We can stop at that.
That's a good point. Specifically about that part of my life, that hobby I take up.
paranoia as a hobby
oh,
now?
Oh, God. No, about the guitar. I'm very paranoid about that. There's a stigma, right?
No, there is. There is.
So you try to your best to avoid all those pitfalls.
Unless you really, really want to get the... I still think playing good riddance at a certain point in the night
it's
is
ironic.
Just automatic. Well, and automatic just tears.
No.
Like, you can't even fight it.
Who are you hanging out with?
Just automatic tears.
What are you doing on weekends?
Are you telling me
just like
you just had a long week or a long week, extended weekend with the boys up at the cabin?
Just cracking cold ones with the boys.
Up at the cabin. And Saturday night
or
Sunday night, depending on if you stayed up there on Sunday.
Okay.
You're around the fire.
Right.
You're reminiscing about all those good years you guys had together.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Good Riddance starts playing.
Yeah.
You're telling me not a tear is going to be shed because of the alcohol content in your body?
Here's the sound you're going to hear. And you know what that is? Me clicking next on my hi-fi.
Because you don't want to face the reality of your feelings.
Here's what you're going to hear.
You don't want
to... No. This is an exact replication of what you're going to hear. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then the next song kicks in.
Because you are afraid...
Yeah.
...to deal with your feelings and face them head on. Because you know what would happen. You know there would be a tear shed.
I don't think... If I ever cry at the song Good Riddance, parentheses, Time of Your Life by Green Day...
Maybe you just haven't had the time of your life yet.
Great point. I haven't had that turning point with a fork stuck in the road.
Time
has yet to grab me by the wrist and direct me where to go.
I was literally about to go there.
Yeah.
Right there. Also, here, I deserve this.
Yeah. Kiki. Christian, you got kiki'd pretty hard here.
I got kiki'd extremely hard.
Yeah, we rolled tape, and I won't go back and revisit, but Christian did say over the weekend on the Kawhi Leonard trade, so I give him 67% credit because he didn't get the time frame right, but he did get the team and the return absolutely correct. Two-thirds credit.
Can I get some extra credit for you having no idea about it and me informing you?
No, you get no credit for my ignorance. My ignorance knows no bounds, therefore I award no credit for it playing a part.
All right, fine.
I feel like that's fair, especially when it comes to NBA Twitter news. I'm not abridged on that knowledge.
All right.
Like, maybe I should be.
But I mean, Vegas odds were jumping up, and you are normally tuned into that.
What is that supposed to mean?
You have degenerate tendencies?
That's a good point.
Okay.
Although, also, way smarter than you on the betting books. I'm gonna play.
No, let's play. This is us. This is us.
Inside,
yeah.
We are same.
Okay.
Same.
Yeah.
But different.
Right.
When it comes
but
to that.
Still same.
No.
Yep.
I know when to hold them and fold them. You do not. You run the train wreck. Like, I think you think like anytime you're gonna hit your millionaire streak, and you just keep firing darts until we just hit that just 100 in a row, just doubling down every time, and you're a millionaire. I think you're waiting
I
for
have
that
been known to double down on a hard 13 before, more than once.
You sicko. You're the guy at the blackjack table that everyone's just getting furious at for not following the unwritten rules.
No. They're not furious. They think it's funny. The dealer thinks it's funny. They're like, are you sure you want to do this? And he has to announce it so that the pit bosses can hear it. Double down on a hard 13. I'm like, bet. You busted. Cool. Thanks.
All right. See you never. I'm going to go get food. Oh, wait. That's every dollar I had. Cool.
Hopefully I have enough gas to make it home. Cool.
So yeah, I'm definitely the degenerate.
You're I never totally called correct. You a degenerate. I just said you had degenerate tendencies.
This is total malarkey.
Oh, is it? You say it's...
That's a bunch of malarkey.
I agree with Joe Biden.
Oh, okay.
I'll call it Joe Biden on this one. Christian, something I saw on the internets.
The interwebs?
The World Wide Web. Was a comparison and a, hey, okay, Bulls fans, now what do you think of the Jimmy Butler return after the Kawhi Leonard thing went down? Implying that the Bulls, compared to the Kawhi trade, got hosed. And let me make something abundantly clear for, I would guess, maybe the 100 millionth time. Jimmy Butler, as great of a character as he is, as much as we can admire his work ethic, as much as we like the way he approaches life, approaches his improvement to the game, his story, as awesome as all that stuff is, he is never going to be the best player on a championship team. That leaves him out of the highest echelons of the game. Kawhi Leonard is good enough to be the best player on a championship team. In fact, you can make the argument he already has been.
He was Finals MVP.
And he was the best player on that Spurs team.
Mm-hmm.
Because all those other players were super, super smart, incredible moxie, incredible discipline.
It was the beautiful game.
He was the best player on that team. And he could do it again with less talent around him. Maybe not less, but as much, maybe younger. Jimmy Butler's never going to be that guy. So you can't get in return another all-star like you did for Kawhi Leonard. You got the 7th overall pick in the draft. You got Lauri Markkanen.
Which you hope turns into an all-star when you pick that high.
You hope he becomes an all-star. Clearly, Christian and Gar Forman share a similar opinion of Zach LaVine, who, if Christian's to be believed, will be better than Danny Green.
Correct.
You also got a top 4 overall pick in a draft, someone you were going to take at 4 if you Jimmy Butler trade had gone down in 2016 and Chris Dunn. So it's still a good return. Did you get a DeMar DeRozan? No, you didn't. Jimmy Butler isn't as good of a player as Kawhi Leonard, so of course you shouldn't get as good of a return. That's how the world works. The Bulls got a great deal for Jimmy Butler. I don't regret that trade one bit. We're going to the phones again, 815-874-1330. Good afternoon, you're on Sports Fan. Who do we have?
Hey, gentlemen, this is Scott. How are you guys doing today?
Scott, good to hear from you, man.
Kawhi Leonard, that's interesting. How cruel was that of the Spurs, first of all, to send him not only to a team he didn't want to go to, but to deport him out of the country, and then second of all, poor DeMar DeRozan didn't want to leave Toronto. I was in shock. I can't believe that trade happened, and both teams did their players so dirty.
Yeah, despite what NBA players want you to believe, they don't have much say over where they're traded. So I don't feel bad for the players. That's the nature of the business. It's a dirty game. I mean, Kawhi has to be traded. The Spurs have any right to trade him wherever they get the best offer. It's happened to be in Toronto. By the way, everyone who goes up to Toronto loves it up there. I mean, he's playing with Fred VanVleet, so I'm stoked that maybe we can get a better season out of Fred VanVleet than DeMar and Kyle Lowry were able to give him. Maybe Kawhi can get Fred VanVleet some wins.
That is a very good silver lining, Jake. That is awesome. I would love to see Freddie make that NBA Finals. Real quick, and then I'll hang up. Is there any chance that Toronto's GM did this so that he can trade Kawhi at the trade deadline and get even more? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thanks, Scott. Always appreciate you checking in with us. It's great to hear from you. I mean, this is the price for Kawhi for a full season. Toronto didn't get any assurances he's going to sign. In fact, they got the opposite. So the price for half a season's got to be worth something. I mean, but Toronto's still going to be good, so if he's playing, why not keep him and try to make a run?
Absolutely, because Toronto could go one of two ways here. This trade could work out. Kyle Lowry could show out. Fred VanVleet could show out. And they could, you know, have a similar season to last year. Kawhi could still be sitting out and they could still trade him. What Kawhi does is allows them to get out from under Serge Ibaka's contract if they want to. That has been their biggest black mark on that team for the last two seasons, is that Serge has not been playing up to his contract. They haven't signed to a big contract, but no one wants to take him on. And the problem was that DeMar DeRozan had a couple years left on his deal, so you weren't going to take DeMar DeRozan's contract and Serge Ibaka's contract because you probably couldn't. With Kawhi, now they could even trade him and Serge to the Lakers, get Kyle Kuzma, and some of the Lakers' young players, Josh Hart. Probably not Lonzo Ball because he doesn't really slot in well with Kyle Lowry. Now you become someone that you can a trade partner with the Lakers or any team that feels like they have a chance to get Kawhi to play for that half a season or whenever that trade is. So, yes, absolutely. They can't trade him within 60 days of him moving teams, so it wouldn't happen till midseason because they at least want to give it a summer to try to get him to play in Toronto and buy in. But absolutely, yes. Masai is always thinking, the GM of the Toronto Raptors is always thinking three steps ahead. He's one of the best GMs in the league, and I truly believe that if it comes to it, they definitely could use Kawhi as a trade piece to get out from under Serge Ibaka's contract.
I think if Kawhi plays more games with the team about not wanting to play for him, that drives the price so far down it's not worth it for the Raptors. Even if he plays all these offseason games and ends up suiting up for the Raptors. That makes it very clear that unless you trade Kawhi exactly where he wants to go, he's going to be a pain in the rear end. And so that drives, because then all of a sudden that shifts. What we thought, all the leverage was shifting to LA. Once it became clear that Kawhi was being such a egregious pain in the butt that all he wants to do is play with LeBron, we thought all that leverage was shifting over to the Lakers. But the Lakers tried to, the Lakers overplayed their hand and went too low with their offer once the leverage switched. And then they said, all right, we'll go anywhere and everywhere, and we'll just say, screw Kawhi's wishes. We're just going to trade him to Toronto. If you play that game again, you try to, your best to throw all the leverage over to Los Angeles. Every other team in the league is just going to lowball it, including LA. And then it doesn't make sense for the Raptors to do anything other than sit on the ass. Instead of getting lowballed, play him. Call his bluff card, call his punk card on if he's going to sit out or not. And if he's not going to, if he's still going to play, he's just going to, well, I'm going to play. I'm going to be real mad about it. All right, go win me games. Go let me sell more playoff tickets. Then I'll let you walk, and we probably needed to get out from under DeMar DeRozan anyway, so then we get a cap hit. Then we get some cap space next summer. We can go and draft players, and we can go through the rebuild, and we can try to trade off Kyle Lowry, and then we can start over again or do something.
I don't think they're actively going to try trade Kawhi, but that's definitely a major reason why they made this, so that they had that option.
There's too many things that would have to fall perfectly into place for that to happen. I would call it a minuscule possibility at best. That's how I'd characterize it.
I'd put it at a solid 40%.
40% chance Kawhi Leonard moves again before this year's playoffs.
Yeah. I think that cannot be overlooked as a reason why they made this trade, because everyone knew this trade was in work. The first news of it, or first word of it between the two teams, was 2 weeks ago. Okay. There's been various iterations of this trade, variations. They've had players up and down.
And,
sorry, obviously Masai's thought about this.
Yep.
And there's no reason why this hasn't come up in his mind, because if we're thinking about it, obviously he's thought about it.
I don't know. We're pretty smart. Scott's pretty smart, too.
Well, he is, but he's also not the first person I've seen throw this out. So this is something that has been permeating a little bit, that it does give Toronto a little bit of trade leverage or a trade piece if they decide they want to move out from Serge's contract.
We were talking about it through the lens of the return for Kawhi Leonard versus the return for Jimmy Butler. Not only would I say it's a similar return for the caliber of the player, I think you got a better return for Jimmy Butler than Toronto got for...
Absolutely.
Yeah, or San Antonio got.
But it's also two teams, and both teams are trying to win now. They both have another star on their team who's in their prime or at the latter end of their prime. You still expect them to make the playoffs, whereas with the Bulls and the Timberwolves, it was a team going down and a team going up. So that's why the return was a little bit different.
So tell me, it sounds like you love this trade for the Spurs. What trade would you get? What grade would you give for the Spurs? What grade would you give to the Raptors on their Kawhi Leonard deal?
For the Spurs, it's a C+, B-.
You were saying how much you loved the fit for DeMar in San Antonio.
Yeah, but you still should have got a young player and another shooter.
Poeltl.
Another young player like OG. I should have got OG or an unprotected first-round pick. For the Raptors, I think it's an A, just because you don't know. As dirty as it was, as annoyed as I am with them kind of just throwing their franchise player under the bus like that, as icky as it sounds, it's still an A because you have so much wiggle room and upside with this.
You reinvigorated your franchise, maybe when it was at its most demoralized. Winning.
And we've known. There's been rumblings of it since they got swept out of the playoffs that something needs to change here. That what if Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan are leaving the team? They have to break it up. They have to try something new. We've been talking about it on the show since they got swept. So it's not that surprising that one of the guys got moved. The way that it happened, if it was true that they did tell him 2 weeks ago, you're not being moved, and then did it, a little bit icky, a little bit dirty, but A for the Raptors, for sure.
I have a football question for you when we come back. Is that all right?
Ooh, I guess.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake Logley, Christian Hager. We're back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Mike Barr with Crimson Point Senior Living. If it's time to consider assisted living for a family member or friend, please...
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logue, Christian Haker, good to be with you for 36 on this Wednesday, July 18, 2018. So happy you made us part of your day. We're talking about the NBA quite a bit today with the introduction of Jabari Parker, the trading of Kawhi Leonard to the Toronto Raptors. I did have one NFL question for you. Because Monday we got a bunch of quotes from Le'Veon Bell, right? About the fact that he thought he was going to... We wanted to retire a Steeler. Probably is not going to get the chance because they don't want to pay him. Whenever a contract stalemate comes to this, Bell might try to do the sit out. He might want to play out the rest of the contract here because that opens you up for a bigger deal down the road, although you've already kind of proved your franchise back when you play, even coming off of injury.
All this talk of sit-outs makes me think all those participation trophies we gave them when they were younger.
Right.
You're athletes. You should be standing and walking and running and doing athletic things, not sitting out.
Never sitting and never kneeling. That's our policy here.
But continue.
So, if this were to reach a stalemate where Bell's not playing without a contract, even though we passed seemingly all the deadlines... He calls Ryan Pace. He says, tell you what, you can have the rights to Le'Veon Bell. Can't tell you he wants to be in Chicago. Can't tell you he's going to sign long-term in Chicago, no matter how much money you throw at him. I can't even promise you he's going to play, because that's his prerogative. But you can have sole rights to Le'Veon Bell, given his current predicament. All you got to do is give me Jordan Howard. With those conditions in place, now Jordan Howard has 2 years of control left with the Bears at under $1 million per. Le'Veon Bell, there's no guarantees he's gonna stay for you. There's not even a guarantee he's going to play for you. Do you give up what is billed as one of the more valuable backs in football, given what he's paid, given what he produces, for a guy that, if he's healthy, if he's playing, if he's not suspended, is hands down the best running back in football? The patience, the receptions out of the backfield, one of the best around. But you can't even guarantee he'll be on the field. Are you willing to mortgage that future, giving away Jordan Howard, knowing this guy could walk, if you make that trade?
Were you surprised by my answer? You asked me this off air.
You were so definitive during the break. I want to see, and I was a little more clear with the parameters this time around on air. Apparently I can only speak if the mics are live.
Which is not the worst thing.
Yeah.
For someone in your position.
Better that than the inverse. What would you do with that phone call from the Rooney family?
I would accept before they even finished explaining everything.
With no guarantee the guy even suits up and wears your uniform on a Sunday.
It's the same thing that just happened with Kawhi. You don't care. You take that chance.
Right. But there...
That's a world...
The difference is Toronto was already done with the DeMar DeRozan experiment. Chicago is so far from done with Jordan Howard.
Yeah, but you already have Tariq Cohen there.
They are so high. And Tariq Cohen, as soon as you know, I mean, by week three, you already kind of figured out what he does well and what he doesn't do well, and you can scheme to the things he doesn't do well and just kind of hope he doesn't beat you if they draw plays to where he doesn't succeed inside the tackles. He can't be a three-down back. I mean, you still got to find another guy. If Tariq Cohen's your bellwether, that's not a good thing. He returns punts. He catches passes on third downs. He's used as a decoy outside. He's not Jordan Howard. He is not second and three.
Or, you know who's a mix of them both and even better?
The guy who you don't know if he's going to play?
Yeah, but I said it off air and I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe Ezekiel Elliott, there is not a single running back in the league that I'm not trading for a year of Le'Veon Bell.
In Madden... You're correct.
I don't care.
Where guys play on contract.
Yeah, there's no, even with no guarantee that he's going to play, you take that chance for Le'Veon Bell.
No, you do not trade anyone but Zeke Elliott with no guarantees he's going to play.
Le'Veon Bell.
Todd Gurley, I do not trade without a long-term extension.
Definitely Todd Gurley.
I don't trade Alvin Kamara without a guarantee that he's going to sign long-term. I don't trade Saquon Barkley without a guarantee that Le'Veon Bell is going to be with me long term.
Saquon Barkley can inch his way up a little bit.
I feel like I'm missing other players on here. Leonard Fournette, not trading.
Absolutely.
Unless I get a guarantee that he's going to play and that he's going to sign long-term.
Even, okay, you don't get the long-term, but he'll say, yeah, I'll play out my contract year.
Jacksonville will be a good consideration.
I'll take a year of him for those guys.
Arizona, David Johnson.
Yes, with the both of them, he's had more injury problems than David Johnson, and I'm higher on David Johnson than most.
I don't like David Johnson at all. But again, there's a scenario that plays out where I look like the biggest idiot on planet Earth.
Yeah, but you took the chance.
You are a risk it to get the biscuit guy. You are an aggressive GM. Whenever you put the GM hat on, you always advocate for the aggressive take. And I know Le'Veon for Jordan Howard sounds like just lick smacking all day, give that to me. It's way more difficult of a decision than that once you realize what's on the other side if things don't go your way. If things go your way, you look like a genius.
The problem with Le'Veon Bell right now is that he doesn't feel respected by Pittsburgh management. It's the same problem that Kawhi had, and I'm blanking on, but there was another situation very recently where they just don't feel respected by the coaching staff, by management, to the point where they'll sit out. When you move them, Jabari Parker, he didn't feel respected by Milwaukee. He sounds miles and miles more happy in that first press conference than the last year of press conferences in Milwaukee. When you move him out of the situation where he's not happy and his happiness increases, he feels wanted, he feels respected, there's a higher chance he's going to play. The problem right now, as much as he says he wants to be a Steeler, and I probably believe him, he still doesn't feel respected by that team. You move him out of that situation, you move anyone out of a bad situation, their happiness, their affability automatically jumps up. It's going to happen. So I don't care what the team is. I don't care what their situation is. The fact that he's moving out of a situation where he feels disrespected is automatically going to increase your chances of him at least playing that year. I'm not saying it's really increasing your chances exponentially that he signs a multi-year deal, but he'll at least play a year for you because he feels respected, because he feels wanted.
I think it's clear cut. I just think he wants to get paid. He wants $17 million a year. And let's play that side of this coin too. If you're Chicago, you're also committing to paying a guy $17 million if he's willing to take it.
If you have the money for it, I don't see why you don't do it if you're Chicago.
You were talking about how much you can't draft Saquon Barkley based on the $5 million he'd make as a rookie.
Because he's not a for sure thing. Le'Veon Bell's a known product.
This sounds like that's picking and choosing to me. These guys are projected. Saquon Barkley's projection. If he's a third of the player that Le'Veon Bell is, 5 versus 17, 515. Let's say Le'Veon Bell makes 15 a year. He's not worth that if he's a third of the player Le'Veon Bell is.
His rookie season, he won't be.
It graduates up after that. That makes sense. I'm just saying that we can't. I know he's the best running back in the league, but if we're going to talk about a guy we don't want to pay $6 million and not worth it, how are we going to make the jump $11 million more than that and say, well, he's the best in the league? How could you not pay him?
I don't know if I'd pay him that much, but he definitely deserves probably 10 plus. He deserves to be paid.
But again, that's the big jump. So where's the line?
What?
That's a big line from 17 to 10 plus. There's a big delta in there.
Is there a big delta in there?
What is the cutoff point? 13? 14? 15?
Without more research and exactly what top, because you have to look at it is look at those receiving numbers, look at everything he brings to that team, look at the touchdown numbers. He's more than a running back.
Yeah, well let's do that. Let's find out who the top paid wide receiver is in the NFL.
Julio,
how much does he make?
14.
There's the question. Antonio Brown makes 17 in his own right. Mike Evans makes 16.5. DeAndre Hopkins, 16.2.
So he should be the 14. He should probably be 14.
You think there's
there's an argument to be made that he should be paid more than the top wide receiver because not only is he receiving the ball out of the backfield and maybe getting you close to 1,000 yards receiving, but also he can touch the ball more than and affect more plays than a wide receiver who can be out of the game for two quarters.
14 puts him on par with Julio Jones, Demaryius Thomas, and Allen Robinson.
And there's an argument to be made that he does more than those three.
Paid less than A.J. Green, Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks,
And he definitely should get paid more than Sammy Watkins.
DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown. Yeah, Sammy Watkins. Thank God the Bears saw through that smokescreen, huh? The Chiefs got hustled. If only they consulted Matt Nagy on that one. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Any closing thoughts on there before we get out and close with some hot takes after a break?
Pay the man his money.
Pay the man, Christian Hager says. We're giving some hot takes when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330.
It's time for the Sports Fan.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. We're rocking out in the studio. Hope you're rocking out on the road, walking out of the office. Good to be with you on this Wednesday, 4:51 in the afternoon. We've had a fun show today. It's gone by too fast. Christian, you're going to be enjoying all kinds of country music through the rest of this week. You will not be
enjoying
in the studio with us.
Interesting.
Oh, yes, you will. There. Yes, you will. You will enjoy some great Jason Aldean, some great guitar riffs, some great heavy metal guitar over big choruses. Maybe some Luke Bryan.
Maybe if I drink enough, I'll just sleep through it.
Say, well, hey, bro.
No, but I'm more concerned to, like, see Luke Combs up on stage and wonder how he has a career. That's what I'm more concerned about. I think that'll be the most triggering thing.
No,
to me.
Luke Combs is very talented. He's just gonna throw his voice out.
He's gonna throw his voice out?
Yeah, because have you ever heard, like, a live version of Luke Combs?
No.
They play it on the radio sometimes.
Does he just sing his heart out, man? He is the Post Malone of country music.
And unfortunately, what happens is that all he does is that screaming thing, except instead of, like, finessing it, it's just the whole song is that way, and that's very dangerous. Like, if you're Dave Grohl, like, that's, like, the exception to the rule. Dave Grohl's been able to keep touring, but I would just imagine that is just hell on your vocal cords, too. And, like, in the studio, it's just, like, for, like, the chorus and the bigs, you'll hear that gravel kick in. When the live stuff, it's just all that.
Interesting. Well, I hope his voice doesn't give out, or maybe it should. I don't know. Well, I would never wish that upon anyone.
Hey, bro,
but
just because people you don't like talk about Luke Combs being great doesn't mean Luke Combs isn't great.
Just because he's the Post Malone of country music doesn't mean he's not great.
Fire that hot take music. Yes, sir. It is getting hot in here, Christian Hager. Wednesday, July 18th. Closing out our show. Christian Hager, what do you got? And it's better be hot because I won't talk to you for 2 days.
I'm not going to talk to you for 2 days. Oh, man. What is going to happen? No, I'll actually say this is going to happen this weekend. We are going to have... I actually have nothing. I'm sorry. I've really been thinking about this long and hard. And there's literally nothing. I gave up all my hot take juice yesterday. And today, there's really nothing because there's just nothing going on. There's nothing to give you a hot take on. Okay, I'll give you one hot take. I'll enjoy 3 songs this weekend. I will allow myself to enjoy 3 songs this weekend. I won't even be able to control it. And then all of a sudden, I will be in the moment. I'll be realizing.
Yeah, there's a hot take. You'll find yourself dancing to some Luke Bryan.
There we go. And I'll text you about it, too. Let you know.
You're going to be grooving. Yeah, send me a snap video of the song you found yourself grooving to.
And then you'll never let me live it down.
We'll only use that for intros from here.
All right, that works.
It'll be the intro to the show.
That works. That's fine. Just so you can see it live and in person.
The Raptors are going to the finals.
Huh?
Not only Kawhi Leonard plays.
What?
They're going to the finals.
What?
Kawhi Leonard re-signs.
What?
And someone comes and joins Kawhi Leonard up in Toronto.
What?
Is that a hot enough take for you? You scoundrels.
Kiki!
No, sir. I will not accept that one.
Kiki!
Not a chance. That is gonna happen. Toronto is the new landing spot.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
That's just the views from the 6, man.
I don't even have any. Well,
yeah.
Just yeah. More of that.
It just feels right.
That's awful.
It's a hot
terrible.
Take. It's a hot take,
That's
man.
That's terrible.
Hot takes. Genius is not understood at its time. Understood in its time.
You just call yourself a genius live on air?
Well, the shoe fits, huh?
All right, Cinderella.
That's our show for the day. Thanks to Miss Judy Dime for coming back in. Talk a little bit about what is and what isn't a sport. Thanks to Christian Hager, all the work he does for us. We're going to send it home for the day. Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Thanks so much for making time for us. My name's Jake Logley. Dean Irvin's coming up next.